much about.
This is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back. Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I want to talk about 2012. What do you think?
Well, can you expand on that?
Hot enough for you, folks? It must be 1,000 degrees out there.
I don't like him, his giant head, or his beady little eyes. That's all I got to say on the matter.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Gay?
Yes.
Somebody just told me you were queen of the gays.
All right, give us some background on Mrs. Butterworth. Is she a slave woman?
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
Well, let's get started with today's show.
And now,
Kevin and Bean, Kevin and Bean, working with you has always been a dream of mine.
What fresh hell is this?
Our feature presentation.
That would be one of our interns.
I'm so sad I missed Rapey's Wrath. The best thing I've ever heard.
We're trying not to call her Rapey because it seems like perhaps that's a bad word.
She seems to have embraced it. She refers to herself as Rapey. She seems to like it. And what little I know about her, it seems doable, too.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's great.
Hey, we're going to take your telephone calls for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew for a Monday. You pick up the phone and call us toll-free at 1-800-520-1067. I have many questions because I was out last week.
Right.
But the only one I need answered immediately is, how is Sofia Vergara?
Oh.
Because I saw that you were going to have her on, and I love her, and I know that you guys used to date, and I was afraid it was going to be a little bit awkward, but how did it go?
Well, it was scheduled to be on the phone, but she came in because she insisted. So that was odd.
Yeah?
And then she hung out for like 2 hours, and we did it twice in the bathroom.
Why do I feel like I'm now being lied to?
and then she canceled the interview.
Oh, she didn't. She wasn't on for reals.
No,
I did not know that. I only, I peripherally looked at the schedule because I was on vacation. I wasn't trying to stay too interested. But when I saw that she was booked while I was out, I was so sad because she's so hot.
Yeah, it turns out she's very, very hot.
And hot.
If she skipped our interview, it's because that's what should have happened. Whatever she does is right.
Oh, I see. So. I see what you're saying. Oh, so it didn't work out. That's too bad. She's funny on that show, though, isn't she?
She is.
Have you watched it? Yeah.
She's very funny. And very hot. And very not on our show last week.
And nothing is funnier to me than her being married to Ed O'Neill.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just great.
Well, that's the ultimate come on now.
Yeah, exactly.
How far are you going to push this?
Exactly.
No possible way we're supposed to believe that's going to happen.
Well, I really did not know that. I'm sorry to hear that, because that would have been...
No, that was good. It was a great
day. That would have been nice. Yeah. That would have been fun.
I was very excited, and then nothing. So that's
because
kind of a bummer.
I know that, and I would have done the same thing had I been here. I know that I would have embarrassed myself with a really stupid line of questioning.
Oh,
there's
really?
No way. Yeah. She's so scorching hot that I couldn't just ask regular questions. I'd try to impress her somehow,
right,
and you know what a fail that would be.
Always doesn't work.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so unfortunately, she had other things to do, and
okay.
And I support her in that.
All right.
I think she did the right thing.
Good enough.
It's Monday morning. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It's time to take your phone call.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Well, here's an awesome prize just in time for Halloween. Hey, did you debut Halloween Spooks last week?
Nope.
Oh, we need some of that this week, then.
Nope.
Sure. How about a pair of tickets to join us at Knott's Berry Farm? 37th Annual Halloween Haunt is coming up on Wednesday, October the 28th. And that's what you get just for being on the air for 20 seconds of your time at 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew.
We did, by the way, have a live Rocktober band. We had a band. We had Psycho Mike come in with his guitar. And then, we had a set of drums in here, and Ralph played those. And then I added the cowbell.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was a...
How was that?
It was rocking.
Really? Because that doesn't sound good.
And it made us determine we've got to get the band back together.
Well, we do have to get the band back together.
All right.
That's true.
No fun. Let's talk to Henry. Hi, Henry. Hello, Henry.
Hello.
Hi.
We
What did you, nephew?
What did you? What's going on?
Well, I saw him the other day on the Discovery Channel where pigs are taking over the world.
Did you say
what's taking over the world?
Pigs?
Pigs are taking over the world.
And how are they doing that?
You know, the title said pig bomb, so I had to see it. It was actually where the pigs are overpopulating in America, and they're evolving. They're going to take over the world. They're eating our farms, and...
They're not just eating the crops, they're eating the actual farms?
They are eating the farms.
All right.
Guys, where are pigs overpopulating? Tell me where this is happening, because pigs do not run wild traditionally in most of the United States. They're pretty much contained and regulated.
Well, you know, I saw this on the Discovery Channel again, and it was like in Arkansas and all those Middle East places.
Arkansas and the Middle East places.
Well, Arkansas is very well known to be the capital of the Middle East. So I can see why you would say that. Is it possible at all that while you were watching this show on Discovery or now you're high? Or drunk?
Nope.
No.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna have to source you on I'm not saying your facts don't sound straight up, but I'm gonna have to get another opinion on that. But thank you for the call, Henry.
Arkansas or the Middle East?
I mean, look, if you're going to say monkeys are taking over and point to India, I got to agree with you. I mean, there's lots of evidence, but have you heard of any cases of pigs taking over or going wild? But
that's because they're keeping it on the DL.
Well, maybe so, because there'd be panic in the streets.
Right.
If people knew. Look, I got the same pigs I've had out back for years. There's no more than there were 5 years ago, so I don't have any first-hand evidence to support that.
All right. Let's go to Andrew. Hi, Andrew. Hello, Andrew.
Yes.
Hi, what'd it do?
What it do? I just want to hear Rocktober again.
Oh, you mean the live band at Rock, didn't it, Tubbean?
And I want to give a shout out to the Dodgers
for finally winning that game.
Oh, wow! You're a bad person.
That's just the way he talks. That's all. He didn't think about it.
Right, but he has nothing to say when you ask him a direct question.
Right.
And then when he does have something to say on his own, he has to say something we can't put on the air.
Sure, there's that.
Well done. Last year, by the way, we took a month off of Rocktober and celebrated Foxtober, if you recall.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to hear that Rocktober is back with a vengeance.
With a vengeance. You're going to love it when you join the band. Curtis, hi.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good.
Just a little info on the pig. I don't know too much about it, but I do know that in Texas, there is a place where you actually pay for a helicopter and you shoot pigs out of the helicopter because it is so overpopulated in Texas.
How do the pigs get into the helicopter?
No, I don't...
You!
That's not what he's saying at all.
Well, no.
I hadn't heard that. I remember last year there was a lot of news about Governor Palin up there in Alaska. What was she shooting from a helicopter? Was it moose she was shooting? Or
it was Texas, not Alaska. We're talking about Texas.
Here. Right, you are, but Bean's talking about... all right, wow.
I was talking about a similar story.
Hold on.
Well, there is a full moon this week, and I think that may be affecting the callers. Let's talk to Mike real quick on line 8, I guess, because this is really the only thing I care about that's happening today.
Hey, Mike. What did you tell us? How's it going this morning?
Well, so far, so bad.
I'm calling to see what you guys think and if you guys are going to watch that Monday night game. Brett Favre claiming it's not another, you know, it's not a big game. It's just another game. He doesn't care when we all know he's just been waiting.
Brett Favre playing for Minnesota, playing the Green Bay Packers tonight on Monday Night Football. That should be interesting because you know he wants to rub it in their faces.
I'm a Raiders fan, and the only thing I've been waiting for all year, especially with the way our team's been going, is for this game, and that's pretty much about it. I want to see Brett Favre get revenge.
This game, and then your coach getting in another fight. That's what you're looking forward to.
Pretty much. I mean, that's all we can look forward to at this point, knocking somebody out on the team.
All right.
Now, is the game at Lambeau tonight?
No. In Minnesota.
It's in Minnesota.
Yeah, I believe it's in Minnesota, but I mean, either way, Lambeau or not, Brett Favre.
Well, that's going to make it a lot easier for Brett, though, to be playing at home for him. I mean, it would have been even more spectacular to have him have to go into Lambeau Field.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
Yeah. That's why I was curious about that. You know, I know that that's a fairly common matchup on a Monday Night Football game because they're such division rivals and they both have huge followings and everything, but how lucky were they, the guys that scheduled Monday Night Football, to have everything that happened? Because this schedule, you know, was confirmed a year ago or something. And to have all this stuff happen with Brett Favre and have it work out the way it has, I mean, they just be dying for tonight.
Yeah.
The ratings are going to be phenomenal.
Can't wait.
Exactly, especially because he just came off that, those last-minute heroics last week by that, 40, 50-yard bomb in the end zone with seconds on the clock.
Sure.
Everything worked out, set up perfect for tonight.
Yeah, very exciting. Very exciting. All right, sir. Thank you for the call. You're the only caller this morning that made any sense, and we appreciate that. I'm happy that you're letting us go out on a high note.
That was rough.
It was a weird group of kids.
It wasn't good,
if that's what we're saying. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Why don't we?
We have a funny man, Kevin Nealon, on the program today. Coming in studio.
Love Kevin.
Very funny comedian, of course. He's on Weeds, one of our favorite shows. And he's got a new DVD out that called Now Hear Me Out that we're going to talk to him about. Very excited about that.
Found out something about Kevin Nealon over the weekend. I want to talk to him about it. That he took a night class at a college so that he could play football for them. And I guess he was a quarterback on a college football team.
What?
Kevin Nealon doesn't look like the type, does he?
No. I'm going to call BS.
And that one of the reasons he moved to Southern California was he wanted to play in the USFL.
No.
Yes.
I'm saying no. I don't have any information, but I'm saying no.
We'll talk to him about that. Doesn't seem like the kind of guy you would expect to have that backstory, but we will talk to Mr. Nealon. He's always great.
You may have missed this, Bean, but we took a phone call from a guy who says that Megan Fox was hitting on his girlfriend and he, and him, and I don't know how to say it, and he passed on that threesome.
He's lying.
Yeah, well.
Of course he's lying.
The Kevin Bean Roller Derby Team, perhaps you haven't heard of that. We'll tell you about that today.
No, what? No.
Yeah, Kevin Bean Roller Derby Team. Miss a week, miss a lot, man.
I guess so.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today. We have a little feature called Last Week in Kevin.
And I think that's good.
I think that's to catch you up, Bean, on perhaps my best week ever. And best, of course, I mean worst.
But entertaining for the listeners.
I hope. It's hard for me to tell. And also Olivia Munn on the program today. From Attack of the Show. So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. A quick break and Ralph Showbiz Beat is next.
Hey!
That could use a hey, actually. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:53.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, something called The Week in Kevin,
yes.
Which I hope is going to become a regular feature. We're going to have that for you in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman, how are you?
Hey, Bean Baxter, how are you?
Forgive me for not knowing this, but did the team that shall not be named play yesterday?
Bye week.
Bye week, okay.
Which gotcha. I'm so glad that my team that cannot be named had the bye week yesterday, so they wouldn't be subjected to the NFL's Let's All Wear Pink Gloves and Shoes Day.
Oh, that's right. It was Breast Cancer Awareness Weekend. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. So they loaded up the NFL with pink gloves and shoes and socks and wristbands and headbands and armbands and just a sea of pink everywhere you looked yesterday as I watched 8 hours of football. Just nothing but pink. And I'll tell you, nothing looks better than pink when you're looking at, like, the Browns with their orange and brown costumes, and you throw some pink in there. Looks like Walt Disney threw up.
You can add pink to anything.
Doesn't look good.
Universal color.
Look, I am all for breast cancer awareness. I think it's a hit insidious disease we all need to conquer. I liked the little pink ribbons they had discreetly on the back of the helmets. I thought was a nice touch. Some of the coaches were wearing the pink ribbons on their shirts.
Sure.
Very nice. Give them tons of money. Hey, all the money you're spending on pink gloves and shoes, maybe, NFL. Maybe the money you gave to Reebok to make up a bunch of pink shoes with Ben Roethlisberger running around in pink shoes, you could take in that money and bought free mammograms for people. Maybe that would have been an option.
I think it'd be fine if the NFL wants to support it, just a little bit of the ticket price of the game that day. You know, that's all. Just to donate that and then take the pink uniforms off.
Let's make some pink football cleats and give them to Ben Roethlisberger at 260, running around in pink shoes, looking bad. So, yes, it was a bye weekend for my team that shall not be named, but at least we avoided the pink shoes.
Yeah.
That was good.
So we got that going for us.
Like any of your players would have worn them, though, honestly.
What do you mean?
Your players.
Oh, what?
You know what I mean?
My players are pro-cancer? Where did you get this information?
Yes.
No.
That's my theory.
You are wrong, sir.
All right.
But I'll tell you, it was fun to watch the Cowboys lose. That was fun yesterday.
Always. If we knew a Cowboy fan, we would rub it in.
He's not a Cowboy fan anymore. Jets fan now, remember?
Jets now,
They got destroyed, too.
Sanchez showed his rookiness a little bit yesterday. Some turnovers cost them about 14 points, and that was turned out to be the difference in that game.
That doesn't usually help.
I'm
kind of
rooting for the Jets. I like Rex Ryan a lot. He's my kind of coach, very defensive minded. And Sanchez, of course, Southern California boy from USC. So
the people's champ.
Stop it. Anyway, it was a good weekend. Good weekend in sports yesterday. Let's talk about showbiz, though, shall we? Congratulations to my buddies Paul Wernick and Rhett Reese, who are the screenwriters and executive producers of Zombieland. Number one at the box office this weekend, as we look at the weekend's top 10 movies, $25 million. Made it number one at the box office. Did you go, Kevin?
I did not, no.
You didn't go see
it? I'm still just dying to go. I know that seems like it's at odds.
All you talked about last week was, oh, I'm going to go when it comes out. I can't wait.
First day,
I'm going to go see it. I'm going to go.
That was the plan.
I'm dying to go.
Yep.
And then
that didn't work out. So then I thought, well, Saturday.
Right.
I'm just going to block out my Saturday.
Got
so
it
I can
open.
Go.
Just and need then, 2 hours.
And then I was busy that day.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, okay, that's fine, but I still have Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no one can keep me away from And then it didn't work out yesterday either.
Wow.
So I'm really
I had a countdown clock for the Ricky Gervais movie. I've been dying to go see it. And I had the same plan all weekend long as to go see it. Never made it.
Can I tell you this? My wife took me to the Ricky Gervais movie.
Time to go to the movies. Ref, time. I'm throwing the red flag on the field. I need to review this
coach's
one.
Coach's challenge?
Yeah, coach's challenge. You wanted to see Zombieland. That's all you talked about all week. Can't wait.
Right.
So when the movie-going experience comes around,
yes,
wife gets to pick.
Well, because it was Friday, so then I thought, well, that still gives me Saturday and Sunday to see. I have plenty of time. There's no reason why I can't go with her to one of her movies.
Right.
And it didn't work out for me so much.
You're a skirt wearing nanty boy. That's what you are.
And did you wear a lot of pink on your outfit when you went to the movies?
The Ricky Gervais movie, who I love, and he is funny, was pretty crappy.
Really?
I liked it.
I liked Invention Lying. I liked it a lot.
I didn't like it much.
Huh. Well, nothing blows up in it, that's for sure.
Yeah. There's no explosions.
Did you did you wake up at the end of the movie with strawberry ice cream all over you?
I did not, no.
I was just wondering. No. Okay. Zombieland was number one. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs came in at number two.
Oh, I saw that one, too.
So I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That movie's just a juggernaut. Still hanging in there. Toy Story and the Toy Story 2 re-release double feature, which hardly seems fair to compare the two movies together against regular one movies.
In 3D. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it came out in 3D this weekend. It was number three at the box office. The Invention of Lying, as we were talking about with Ricky Gervais, which I liked enormously. Kevin, not so much. Was fourth at the box office.
Too many words.
Too many ideas, not good belonging. Surrogates was five. Then there was a tie between Capitalism, A Love Story, and Whip It for seventh
place. Is Whip It good, Ralph?
Whip It real good.
God, I hate you both.
I missed that all last week.
That's right. We did it in your honor when you were gone. Fame, The Informant, and Love Happens, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Chris Noth, who you may know from Law & Order, SVU. I think that was the one he was in. Yeah, or Criminal Intent.
No idea.
Maybe Criminal Intent. I don't know. He was on the original Law & Order back in the day. He's come back several times to show up in different series. Of course, you know him as Mr. Big from the Sex and the City TV show and movies as well. He is engaged to his longtime girlfriend, actress Tara Wilson. Entertainment Tonight broke the story yesterday. They met when she worked at his bar in New York City. He owns a very popular bar in Manhattan. By the way, he is 54 years old. She is 27.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I bet she's not ugly.
Good on you, Mr. Big.
By the way, Chris Noth is also, this guy has a lot of jobs. He's also the occasional star of The Good Wife with Juliana Margulies. He plays her scandal-ridden husband in that series, which is excellent, by the way, if you're not watching.
I don't know what that is.
The Good Wife?
Mm-mm.
It's a drama.
On what channel?
On CBS, starring Juliana Margulies, who plays one of these embarrassed wives when her husband, who is a city official, gets caught in a sex scandal.
Right.
He goes to jail. She has to kind of rebuild her life, so she goes back to a law practice. She was a lawyer for many years before she started raising his kids and stuff.
Right.
And it's really well done, really well written. Speaking of good TV, not to be doing a tangent, but I think we're so used to it, we don't talk about it much anymore. I was watching The Family Guy last night.
Oh, I taped it. I haven't watched that yet.
It was one of the most remarkable half hours of television I've ever seen. They get away with stuff on that show.
They do.
That you would not think anyone could ever do on television. really funny, edgy stuff. Very clever stuff. I was impressed. Christina Milian has announced that she is 4.5 months pregnant. Her husband, of course, is The Dream. I'm not saying he's all dreamy and whatnot. That's his name. He's a rapper called The Dream. They got married a month ago in Las Vegas. Wait a minute. They got married a month ago. She's 4.5 months pregnant. They had sex before they got married.
No, that's not possible.
That will not stand.
That isn't possible.
Certainly not amongst the rapping community.
Yeah, there goes their careers.
Oh, they are going to be haunted by that scandal forever. And speaking of being haunted by scandal, Tara Reid is apparently drinking again.
Uh-oh.
In Touch magazine. In Touch magazine has a photo of the recently rehabbed party girl swigging beer out of a stein at Oktoberfest in Munich. Look, if you're going to fall off the wagon,
might as well.
That is the most falling off you can do, is to say, I'm going to have a drink. Where should I go? Oh, I'll go to the beer gardens of Munich in Oktoberfest and just wallow in just fine pilsners.
That really is an all-out, I'm going to fall off the wagon as hard as possible.
The most concentrated, forced drinking you can possibly do.
It's not accidental if you find yourself at Oktoberfest.
If you were to walk across just a wide bed of syringes filled with vodka, you could hardly get more alcohol into your system. I'm just saying, that's some drinking right there
at
Oktoberfest in Munich. Not Oktoberfest over in La Crescenta,
right,
or Oktoberfest in Des Moines. No. You're going to Munich, the home of the Oktoberfest. Just give me a big stein of beer.
At least her looks hold up when she's drinking.
That's true. She's pretty when she gets a load on. Today's celebrity birthdays. Nikki Hilton, less publicized sister of Paris Hilton.
Right.
Of course, from the Hilton Hotel heiress.
She's the prettier of the two, I think.
Yeah, too. I think she is, and she seems to have a head on her shoulders. She's a clothing designer and seems to want to make a life for herself. As opposed to just wearing her ankles for earrings and getting her photo taken, like her sister.
Nothing wrong with that either, by the way.
26 years old today. Kate Winslet, one of my favorite all times. She's 34. Josie Bissett, who has returned to Melrose Place, by the way. I don't know if you caught it last week or not, but she's back. Jane is back. She's 39 years old. Guy Pearce, very talented actor from Memento and other films, is 42. Clive Barker, who's scary books. They're scary. He's 57 years old. Jeff Conaway from Taxi and most notably from Celebrity Rehab. I hope he's back again this season. I think he should be a recurring character.
How can he not be?
Every season he should come back. He's 59 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Apparently, I was on vacation last week. That's not apparent. That's actually true. I can confirm that. But I missed some magic with the Kevin.
It was a perfect storm last week.
Yeah.
With Bean taking one of his 42 weeks of vacation he gets every year, he left the lion's share of duties to my man Kevin. He had a little bit more work to do because he was flying solo for a week. And, unfortunately, it was also the week he decided to have a stroke. So, you got a guy who can no longer function trying to run a radio show. Look, and it wasn't a great combination.
I can't run a radio show normally.
In your best case scenario.
Yeah, best case scenario. Bean handles all the details. And I still can't be reliable.
But Kevin, last week, his mind was an engine that had been emptied of oil. And if you ever try to run a car on no oil, you know sometimes it'll just seize up on you.
Yeah.
And that's what was happening last week. So I thought it was important for Bean's sake to catch him up on what was going on last week.
And by important, you mean point and laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So we've started our new segment, This Week in Kevin.
Last Week in Kevin! Yeah, that happened.
Let's start off with...
I wasn't getting any sleep
Last Tuesday's show, which was New Music Tuesday, it was Super Tuesday here at the home base radio station. We had Paramore in the morning, Alice in Chains in the afternoon, AFI later on in the day. It was quite the big day in new music. And so we were playing clips from all of those bands and their new CDs. And Mike was reading them to Kevin. Kevin was writing them down so that he could read them. So he could tell us what we were listening to. Here's the problem. Kevin, because he was all stroked out, was writing down things that he then eventually couldn't read 30 seconds later. And that sets us up for this little segment.
The CD is Black Gives Way to Blue. And this is called, Mike, what's this
Your
called?
Decision.
Your Decision. How about that? Yeah, I wrote that down. Couldn't read my own writing.
Couldn't read it.
No idea.
You wrote it down for yourself.
For my, in my handwriting.
Could not read the title.
Couldn't read it. I have no idea why.
Good wow. Time,
yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
That happened. Last week in Kevin. Yeah, that happened. You know, the mother station here for the Kevin and Bean Show is KROQ Los Angeles. And we were going to present some live music from Paramore. It was coming up later in the show. Paramore was going to play live on our morning show. We were very excited about that.
Sure.
Kevin forgot well who was going to play live.
How dare you?
Apparently.
Anyway, a little bit later on this morning, a live performance from K-Rock and from Paramore.
Yeah. Coming Paramore's up. The name of the band. They'll be doing the live performance. Yeah.
Coming up on the
you need to lay down. Yeah. Apparently there was a new band. Last week in Kevin! Yeah, that happened! At some point, Kevin forgot what certain words meant.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's something called going pit bull or being pit bull or something that is a positive, I think. I couldn't quite make it out.
How about that? It's about time. Man, we go through long periods where we don't have anything new and we have to, you know, we're playing pit bull to try and get by.
Yeah, we have to play pit bull.
Oh, he meant we were playing songs by the artist.
Yes, pit bull is what he
that's
meant
what I meant.
Oh, okay.
Because
we were all out of rock music, so I now we got to play it. The I Know You Want Me song. I got you.
I could have said it.
I speak Kevin. I wasn't there to translate that.
Yeah.
We did a live show from the Troubadour here in Los Angeles on Tuesday, and Kevin rolled in, I don't know, about half an hour into the show. I don't know how late he was, but we were all sitting there waiting to get the remote broadcast kicked off. We were looking forward to starting the show.
How dare you?
Had to kind of wait for Kevin to finally show up. So the fans got a little extra music in the morning when we started. We're starting a little late this morning.
Oh, you don't have to bring that up.
And,
yes, he does.
That's because our man Kevin here just got here.
Well, I don't think we need to talk about that.
I was just wondering, though, because it was interesting. Yesterday in the post-show meeting, as we were preparing to arrive here, we gave you a set of instructions and directions.
I've been to the Troub, man. The Troub. It's the Troub.
And yet this morning you seem to have a hard time getting here.
It's the Troub.
We know where we were. We were just waiting for you to get there.
Kevin is famous for cutting it close every morning on the broadcast. I mean, he shows up about, you know, 30 seconds before we go to the air. But I would think that in a live situation where you're going to have a band playing, there's a little extra prep time involved, I'm not going to be there. I would think that'd be the time to get there early.
I'm not enjoying this.
Kevin, when he did arrive, seemed to be easily distracted. There apparently can't be any noise while Kevin's doing a live broadcast, or he just goes right off the rails.
Three different bands. We have Paramore, we have Alice in Chains, and we have AFI.
We do.
And this particular...
You okay?
Where did that noise come from? Street Trooper?
I heard a noise.
Shiny object.
Kevin's been drinking. Stops. You started drinking this morning.
I might still be drunk from Vegas. I'm not sure.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, there was a beep, beep in the background.
Yeah, so?
Well, so I
thought, live on the radio. Maybe you should just try to sally
just
forth.
Ignore it?
Just try to push forward a little bit. Continue on with the show.
So you're saying don't stop
the
show.
Noise? Where does the noise come from? I don't know if you could hear Kevin speaking like Dick Clark on a New Year's Eve during that segment, but Kevin seemed to want to blame it on a dry mouth when it was obvious.
It was a dry mouth.
A piece of rebar head shot through his skull and taken out a piece of his brain. Last week in Kevin! Yeah, that happened! So we thought maybe getting Kevin some water would be a good idea.
The
Kevin.
Fantastic Prize is a pair of tickets to the special screening of Together, the Hendrix Motorsports Story.
Yes, easy for you to say.
Not really. It's on October 7th at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood, and a pair of tickets to the Pepsi 500 at the Auto Club Speedway on Sunday, October 11th.
You want some water or something?
I'm dying for water. I escaped. Dave, can you get me some water in my mouth?
You're eating a granola bar.
Right there.
There you go. There's a little water for you. Yeah. We do a segment on the show from time to time called the Afro Line, where people will call in and leave a message, and we'll play it back
this
on the air.
This has got to be about over.
Kevin wrote down the clips we were going to play, and then Mike told him, okay, you've got all those pieces of audio there at your fingertips. You just play them back. You set them up, and then you just press the button and play that clip for the home listeners. And Kevin said, got it. No, actually said, got it. And then the segment started, and I don't know where the communication failed.
Welcome back. We're broadcasting live from the Troubadour. We've got Paramore performing live on the program this morning, which should be very cool. They're a very energetic band. They have a lot of great songs, so we're looking forward to that. First of all, let's talk about the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. That's the number. And I got to tell you, people love us.
They do.
Yeah, you're going to play them from here.
And I'm going to play them from here.
That's what we decided.
I was waiting for Mike to start it.
Although we had just had a conversation seconds earlier.
Yes, we
where
did.
You said you play them. You've got them there.
I remember both.
Okay.
And they were unconnected.
Do you remember when we did the Showbiz Beat, which is my popular segment where we talk about entertainment news, and then we completed that segment, and then next up, after a series of commercials and a song, was going to be Rich Eisen from the NFL Network.
Right.
We did the Showbiz Beat, we played those songs and those commercials, and then we had Rich on the phone, and here's how Kevin introduced Rich Eisen.
And it's the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
No.
We just did that.
We did that.
It's not the showbiz beat at all.
Just did the showbiz beat.
It was 5 minutes ago. Yeah, that. Yes.
Yeah.
We had just finished
it. We just finished
it. Wow.
We did the showbiz beat. Rich Eisen was on the phone, and then Kevin introduced me to do the showbiz beat.
I didn't get much sleep last week.
Rich Eisen said, look, I'll do the showbiz beat if you want. I don't have any stories in front of me, but I can try to wing it.
Last week in Kevin. Yeah, that happened.
Sadly, the reading chores also fell to Kevin with Bean's absence. Not a good idea in the best of situations, but this week we had a particularly complex prize to give away, and Kevin...
Nailed it.
Here you go.
And today, just for calling in on What to Do Nephew, you get...
Something that is excellent. It's the Hendrix Motorsports, right? Isn't that the
page? Oh, yeah,
this is
right?
The special screening of Together, the Hendrix Motorsports story.
Yeah.
On October 7th at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood. Stop with the
Round
thumbs up.
Round two.
I had a rough day yesterday. And a pair of tickets to the Pepsi. And a pair of tickets to the Pepsi 500 at the Auto Club Speedway on Sunday, October 11th.
Maybe I should take over reading duties.
Yeah, it was not.
That was the best one.
Holy mazel.
That was Kevin's best read. That was the best one we could find.
Last week in Kevin. Oh, yeah, that happened.
We're out of time.
Here's the last moment from last week in Kevin.
If you would like to check out AFI and their live performance from this last Tuesday, you heard me.
That's the performance.
It's 8:55. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's last Kevin show. It's so sad. Yeah, we really thought we were going to put him down. We really thought we were going to take him in the back like a horse with a shattered femur and just let him...
Yeah, that happened.
Rather than mocking him, you should be congratulating him for surviving the weekend and showing up again for more this week.
I am stunned that he's here, quite frankly.
You. Time to check in with our pal Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, who had an unbelievably busy weekend, I'm sure, just trying to keep up with how much John hates Kate. How are you, Harvey?
Hi, guys. How's it, mate? Where is she?
Lisa's on vacation this week.
I didn't know. I'm sorry. I've been working all weekend.
Yeah, no worries.
No, I know you have. This John and Kate thing has really, I mean, it's unbelievable how fast this story is unfolding. Starting with him basically making the show get canceled by refusing to allow his kids on it, and then it's just got worse from there. Right, Harvey?
Well, it's really unbelievable. She had a couple hundred thousand dollars in a money market that they were actually pulling money from to live. He raided the account, and what is really, like, unbelievable about this is that he was on Larry King with his lawyer on Friday night, saying, oh, I want to make the marriage work. It's the money isn't the issue. I don't care about the money. Meanwhile, he takes over $200,000 out of the money market, leaves her $1,000. She literally can't pay the bills right now.
Ouch.
He does it on the urging of his lawyer, who has a history of telling clients, raid the joint account. He's been disciplined by the New York bar. It is just an unbelievable, and they were specifically told that you can't take money out of this account unless both parties consent. So it's just...
How does the bank let that happen then, if that's the case?
Well, because it's a joint account, and on a joint account, either party can pull money out. It's just they had an arbitration agreement that specifically said both parties had to agree if any money was taken out just because of what was going on. The bank didn't know this, but they're going to court this morning. They should be there probably within an hour, and they're asking that John be held in contempt of court for what he did.
Okay, here's what confuses me about this, Harvey, because it sounded like a week ago that John was being contrite and apologizing for his poor judgment with running around with the other women. He withdrew the divorce petition, but now everything he's doing makes it sound like a guy who's hell-bent on divorce and making it as ugly as possible. What's he trying to do here?
Well, the bigger issue is were you really buying what he was selling at any point? I think that's the bigger issue.
Yeah.
No, I mean, but I'm saying, not that I trust anything that he says, but why would he say all that and then turn around and do all this? I don't understand what he's trying to accomplish at this point.
I mean, there is a certain kind of liar.
He's just a douchebag, isn't he? He's just through and through a douchebag.
It is really unbelievable. I mean, he stopped filming. What's really going on here is this. TLC told him, look, we really don't want you on the show much anymore, so we're going to change it to K+8, and he wanted off the show, too, because it just wasn't working for anybody.
Right.
They said they would give him a full paycheck, even though to do any other show, because they're saying, look, we're paying you. So, you know, even Larry King, when he wants to do another show, he has to get permission from CNN.
Right.
So they're saying, look, you have to get permission from us. He didn't want to have to get permission. Basically, he wanted to take the paycheck and do this stupid show with Michael Lohan and divorced dads and anything else he wanted to do. And TLC said, no, we're going to give you a full paycheck. You got to at least go, you know, you got to play our game, because that's the way it works in Hollywood. And so all of a sudden, you know, this show that he had been doing for 5 years, basically putting his kids on the line, suddenly it's bad for the kids.
Right, sure.
Yes, exactly. That was unbelievable. Turnaround. Hey, Harvey, you had a picture up a couple of days ago of some personal appearance that John Gosselin was making. Who are these businesses that hire him to come out to represent them? And who are these people that show up to meet a guy like that?
Well, I mean, people did that with O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it doesn't mean you have to like somebody to want to see him. I mean, you know, notorious people are just as fascinating sometimes as people who are not notorious. And I think there's a curiosity and freak show with him. And the fact is, I mean, look, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's people follow this story on our website. I mean, they really, really do.
So it's your fault.
Well, I'm just giving people what they want.
All right, I'm just saying.
Look, I follow the story, too, because it is interesting. But I can't imagine crossing the street to get my picture taken with John Gosselin or get an autograph of him. That's the part that blows me away.
I mean, look, I mean, I totally understand. But at the same, you know, they did that with O.J. Simpson. You know, in Miami, there were lines of people, you know, when you go to a restaurant that wanted to have their picture taken. And, you know, he slaughtered two people. So, you know, you just can't. You can't account for this. And yet, what's really interesting, too, is when you look at all of this, that's one thing. But the ratings are really down on this show.
Yeah, of course, because there's no one likable. At least before, she was hateable and he kept his mouth shut. So we didn't know he was a douchebag.
You do have the kids. I mean, everybody's screaming, run. You know, so at least, you know.
Yeah.
So is his withdrawal of permission to have his kids on the show, is that effectively the end of whatever the next version of the show is going to be? There will be no K+8 now, right?
Well, I mean, it's a good question. What we talked to some people we know at TLC. They said that the deal they had from the beginning was both parents had to sign off.
Right.
If either parent objected, they would deal with it. Now they have to figure out what do they do. And, I mean, theoretically, they could go in for a court order and say, look, we're, you know, and I'm assuming they're probably going to do this, where Kate's going to go in and say, John should have no say in this. John's doing this purely out of greed. It's not in the best interest of the kids. The kids have done it for 5 years. I'm sure that this is going to end up in court.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're out of time there, but please check out TMZ.com and TMZ Television. Check your local listings. A lot of great stories Harvey is following, including what's going on in the Roman Polanski case, also Beyonce's dad with the paternity suit, all sorts of great stuff up
and
on the site.
David Letterman.
And
the Letterman thing. My God, how great is that? Harvey, you're the best, man. Thanks, as always, for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
See you guys.
Let's talk about Curb Your Enthusiasm. This is a show that's on HBO, and its creator is Larry David. This is the guy that helped create Seinfeld. Larry David and Seinfeld, Jerry Seinfeld, created the Seinfeld show. Now he does Curb Your Enthusiasm, and there is a kind of a mini Seinfeld reunion that's being talked about on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
And this is amazing because Seinfeld went off the air a few years ago on top, number one show in America, and they vowed at that time and have remained true to, I'll never do it again. This show will never, ever come back on the air. So this is kind of a surprise to people that they kind of, all four main actors from that show are reuniting, and they're doing it in an unusual way, kind of in a quasi-reality show way on this Larry David program.
Right, and on the show Curb Your Enthusiasm, if you don't watch it, he and his woman, wife, have been separated. And now he's trying to win her back. And so he thinks that this is a good opportunity to cast her in the Seinfeld reunion. And here's a little clip from last night.
I got this really good idea for George. He's gotten married and divorced, and now he's trying to get his ex-wife back. I think that could be funny.
But why would we do something like this? I mean, I remember you talking about whenever a sitcom does a reunion episode, you say, isn't it pathetic?
I said pathetic?
Desperate, pathetic.
Desperate.
When we would watch shows, when other shows, we'd see them do reunion shows, you would look and you'd make that face, that, you know, that very judgmental face of yours where you...
I did?
Where you see people who do not have your aesthetic standards and you criticize and downgrade them for it. That's your style.
Criticizing and downgrading?
Yes.
Yeah, so Jerry doesn't understand it, but the whole thing is so that he can get his wife back. And
it does kind of seem like the only reason Jerry Seinfeld is doing it is because Larry David, you know, made him a billionaire. So I guess I'll throw one back to you, right?
Sure. Michael Richards was in it, the whole cast, you know. So we thought we'd talk to Jerry today and find out how it went. Hey, Jerry.
That's it. What do you need me for? You played the whole thing. That was the whole episode right there. That's my show.
There may
just
be some
play
people
the episode and let right, people hear it. That's what I think you should do.
Jerry, there are some people who maybe perhaps don't have HBO or don't watch Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Screw
we want to make
them.
Sure that they understood
screw
what
them.
It was. Okay.
If you don't have HBO, screw you.
Wow.
Jerry, you have famously said that you were against reunion shows, that it would be pointless to go back and taint the memory of the great Seinfeld show.
Yes.
Why are you guys all doing this on Curb Your Enthusiasm? What's the real deal?
Because it's a funny way to talk about not doing the show and also do the show. That's why people get it. They get the show and they don't get the show. We don't have to do the show, but they still get the show.
I see.
Well, when you put it that way,
okay.
It does kind of make sense.
In some way, everybody loses.
Yeah.
That's which
true.
Is what I like.
That's true, too. You want everyone to lose?
I want everyone to lose. Except for me, because I'm so rich.
You are, yeah.
It's real. I'm really rich.
Yeah.
Yep,
I'm just rich. I'm richer than you could know.
Yeah.
You sure don't have to do this. That's for sure. You don't really have to do
that's
anything you don't want to do.
Because I didn't have to do it. If I had to do it, I wouldn't do it. What's up with doing things you don't want to do anyway? A lot of people say, I don't want to do this, but I have to do this. You don't have to do anything.
Well, most people do because they don't have unlimited funds.
This is true.
So they have to do what they don't want to do.
But
you,
I have unlimited funds.
That is correct, yes.
You do.
I don't
that's
need to
true.
Do anything I don't want to do.
That's correct, yeah. Yes.
But Larry said, let's get everybody back together, and we'll do something funny, but we won't have to do it. And I said,
okay.
Fine, I'm in. If I don't have to do it, I'll do it.
Right.
If I have to do it, I won't do it.
Right, I understand, yeah.
I don't even understand. How do you understand?
You're not doing a Seinfeld show. You're just, you and the Seinfeld actors are talking about not doing a show.
That's right.
I got it. I totally understand. That makes perfect sense.
Then explain it to me.
Now it didn't seem to end last night. So
no, we're doing a whole arc.
I was going to ask, how many episodes is this going to go on?
We are doing four episodes.
Four episodes.
Okay. All right.
We'll take you all the way through the whole thing. You
okay.
Get to see us filming the show.
Okay.
The show inside the show.
So you're going to actually start filming another Seinfeld
We've
show.
We've actually written a script
okay.
for a Seinfeld show.
Okay.
Now,
right.
Does that count as not doing the show?
Yes! That's the beauty of it!
How does that work?
We do it, but we don't do it.
I don't understand.
Let me explain it to you.
All right.
We do it, we have to do it. If we don't have to do it, then we do it. They say, well, thank you, so what's up? We're not doing it. Uh-oh. Why do we have to do it? We don't want to do
Jerry.
It. I said,
Jerry,
we don't
Jerry,
do it.
Calm down. Calm down.
Oh, no. Here we go. Oh. All right, maybe not four episodes. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and all week long, we want to make you a king for a day. Listen to this. Every day between 5 and 6 p.m., when you hear a block of Kings of Leon, caller 20 will instantly win a trip to Mexico to see the Kings of Leon.
Nice.
Wow.
You don't go into
good
a drawing.
Mexico or bad Mexico, does it say?
I'm guessing good Mexico.
Okay.
You don't have to win a drawing. You automatically win if you're caller 20 when you hear that every day this week between 5 and 6 p.m.
And then you become the king of Mexico?
That's correct. That's also thrown
well,
in the prize.
We already had Dave for that. Come on.
It's 6:57 now.
I have to get uncircumcised. You're listening to the Kevin Beat Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm just saying. Got to be the king of Mexico.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We look at it every Monday morning. Zombieland. Number one. $25 million made it so.
Did you have your friends in last week who wrote
yeah.
this movie?
Yeah, we talked to Paul and Rhett, the guys who wrote Zombieland last week.
Yeah, they were great.
They have to just be on top of the world.
I am so thrilled for them because they're both funny, talented guys who wrote a great movie that turned out great, which doesn't always happen. Sometimes you can write a great movie and then it gets lost in translation by the time it hits the screen.
They wrote Lost in Translation?
Wow. Just already back from vacation, and wow. I got to play him off.
Already
Keyboard Cat has to play Bean off.
I'm trying to get caught up with everything I missed last week. What did they say about how they couldn't find one role for you as a zombie in their entire film?
They convinced me that I didn't want to be a zombie.
They said, oh, it was nightmarish. You're putting on all, you know, all the makeup and stuff. You had to be there all day.
It was, they actually felt bad for the zombies, they said, because most of them were locals there in Georgia where they were shooting. And they said it was unseasonably bitterly cold when they were shooting. And they said all these people were just shivering and making no money and just being miserable.
And Ralph
bought
it.
So you're too good a friend to be in America's number one movie.
Yes.
That's, gotcha. That's what they said. Yeah, so they got that going for me. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was number two with $16.7 million, continuing its box office juggernaut, making a ton of money. Toy Story and Toy Story 2 were re-released over the weekend in 3D. It came in at number three. The Invention of Lying, the Ricky Gervais movie, was number four at the box office. Then Surrogates, Capitalism, A Love Story, Whip It, Fame, The Informant, and Love Happens, rounding out the top ten at the box office. If you're ever looking for Britney Spears as you follow her around the country,
do we
on
do
tour?
That?
Well, maybe somebody does.
All right.
Biographer, an unauthorized biographer named Steve Dennis, tells the New York Post some of her favorite aliases when she checks into hotels.
Oh, good.
So if you're, let's say you're in Wisconsin, and she's playing there at the local Wisconsin Dome.
Right.
You can go to the local hotel. You think she might be staying there and say, yes, can I please have Ms. Alotta Warmheart's room, please?
Oh, come on.
Alotta Warmheart.
No.
Well, she checks in under Ms. Alotta Warmheart. Or maybe you want to say, hello, is Mrs. Diana Prince there, please? Because Diana Prince is the secret identity of Wonder Woman. So.
Ah.
Yeah. Can I please talk to the room where the Queen of the Fairy Dance is, please?
What?
She checks in sometimes as Queen of the Fairy Dance.
So does Psycho Mike, oddly enough.
And lastly, yes, can you please connect me to Mrs. Abracadabra's room, please?
Wow.
Yeah.
She's not good at that.
She isn't. She should hire someone to pick her aliases for her, because Mrs. Abracadabra may raise more suspicions than it allays.
Fail! Epic fail.
And director Michael Bay has announced that there will be a Transformers 3, and yes, the release date is July the 1st, 2011. He wrote on his official blog, well, it's official. We have a great Transformer 3 story. The release date is now July 1st, 2011.
I didn't see the second one, but it was horrible, right?
Yes.
Well,
okay. But it made an assload of money.
Megan Fox was hot.
Yes.
And they focused on her a lot.
Yes.
And the special effects are amazing.
Yes.
And they focused on that a lot.
Yes.
Everything else was rubbish.
Yes. By the way, he adds on his blog, P.S. Megan Fox, welcome back. Apparently she has signed on for the third edition. And she said, please consult your physician when working under my direction, because some side effects can occur, such as mild dizziness, intense nausea, suicidal tendencies, depression, minor chest hair growth, random internal hemorrhaging, and inability to sleep. See, once again, he is referencing her interview where she said working with him was difficult, and he apparently has no intention of getting over that anytime soon.
Excellent.
It's going to be a frosty set, isn't it?
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Nikki Hilton. The lovely sister of Paris Hilton is 26 years old today. Kate Winslet turns 34. Josie Bissett from Melrose Place, the original, and now she has returned to the new Melrose Place, is 39 years old. Looking great, by the way, on that show. Guy Pearce turns 42 years old. Clive Barker. horror book, author, as well as a movie director and screenplay writer. He is 57 years old. And Jeff Conaway, Taxi, he is 59 years old today. And, of course, he was on Celebrity Rehab as well. And he can do some wheelies in that wheelchair. That's all I know. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the show.
What is this Kevin and Bean roller derby team that we're going to be hearing about later this hour? What's that all about?
It is a team that we have that we sponsor, and it's a roller derby team. And they went and they took on another team last week.
It doesn't involve us roller derbying, though, right?
Well, it's the Kevin and Bean team, but it's Psycho Mike and it's Dave the King of Mexico and it's Beer Mug. And they had their first competition last week, and then we're very excited to give you the results coming up.
All right. Video at kevinme.com. We'll tell you all about it later on this hour. Right now, though, I guess we have to deal with one of our listeners who is a lying liar who lies, right?
Well, certainly. We took this call last week, and it occurred to us that there are, every once in a millennium, there is an amazing sexual opportunity. And you either take it or you miss out forever. And this guy called. If you believe his story, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And then we're going to take calls from you on you passed on amazing sexual opportunities. But this is what the guy had to say.
So a couple nights ago, my wife and I are going to P.F. Chang's in the Valley for dinner. My wife is super hot. We look over Megan Fox and her ex-fiancé, Brian, the guy from 90210.
Brian Essigrin, yeah.
So my name is Brian. They call reservations for Brian Party 2. We stand up and all four of us make this crazy eye contact. 5 minutes later, my wife goes to the bathroom. Megan Fox follows into the bathroom.
That's what I'm talking about.
She's like, what are you guys up to after this?
Nice!
Right?
So
you said we have no plans.
Long story short, we had to catch a flight.
Why? No, you didn't! So that happened. Now, I don't know if he's telling the truth.
I do. I know he's not. I know he's lying.
What are you doing after dinner, Megan Fox says, to his wife, by the way.
Yeah.
So look, let's say it did happen, just for the sake of argument.
Okay.
Then those two are the most boneheaded people on the planet, right?
Yeah, I don't care if their flight that they were catching was for their parents' funeral. Right, you pass. Right. You just miss that plane is what you do. Clearly, you say yes to that.
Later on in the call, Bean, he also let us know that his wife is into that type of activity. She's open-minded when it comes to all sexes. And
now, would Brian Austin Green have to be in the room, though? Because that's a good deal breaker.
I don't know, because this guy didn't stick around to find out any of the details.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like my sweet Megan, I'll tell you that. That doesn't sound like something she would do.
Here's the thing, though, and this is why I think he's lying. Because if he is a human being that is a male, and that opportunity comes up, I don't think any human being that is a male on this planet would say, you know what, got a flight.
Yeah.
Gotta make. Can't.
Yeah, I got a meeting. I got a presentation in Cincinnati in the morning. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not going to be able to join you, Megan Fox.
Wait, what's that? It's a three-way with my wife and Megan Fox? Yeah, sorry. Not interested.
There aren't a lot of opportunities for great things like this that come along anyway. As you said, it's once in a millennium. It does seem unlikely that you would turn that down unless you're just scared off by it, and then it's only after the fact that you look. You know, you look at yourself and go, I am not a winner.
Do you remember when – we'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067, if you have these moments where you said, I am not a winner. And you should say that, by the way, if that's the case. Do you remember when Lightning was our producer?
Yes.
And which porn star came in?
Jenna Jameson
came in.
She was a little bit into him.
Who's that? And, you know, she didn't say, hey, let's go out, but she asked, who's that?
Yeah,
I mean,
she
come
did.
On. So we told Lightning, we were like, dude, she's asking about you.
She's Jenna Jameson, for God's sakes. And this is, you know, this was very, very early in her career.
Right. And he's like, no, you know what? I'm dating a girl. And of course he didn't follow up on that. And the girl he was dating fell through as well.
Right. They broke up like 2 weeks later.
Right. Which you know is going to happen anyway. So you might as well just, you know, go for it. Because, again, these opportunities don't really present themselves all that often.
All right. So we're looking for your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You had potentially a once-in-a-lifetime shot at a great sexual experience or something that potentially could have been great or at least something that you'd be able to tell your friends about for the rest of your life. And for whatever reason, you passed. Doesn't have to have been with a famous person. Could have just been with an unbelievably attractive person that would have been great for you to be with. But you didn't do it, and why? Those are the stories that we're looking for.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next.
We're taking your calls on great sexual experiences that you passed on. You are not a winner. This is based on a phone call we got last week from a listener who claims that he had an opportunity to be with Megan Fox. I don't know that I'm buying the story or not. But if it's true, he did the wrong thing by saying no. So we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, wow, we got some great calls here. Let's try Corey to get us kicked off here at line five, please. Hi, Corey. Thanks for holding on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I got offered sex by a woman to have sex with her daughter, and her daughter's best friend.
Okay.
Now,
Dear Penthouse Forum, yeah. I never thought that I would be writing to you. What happened?
I don't know. I just wasn't feeling it. The mother was the hottest one of the two, believe it or not. She was probably a 7, and her daughters were 6, almost 7.
Yeah, I got to tell you, though.
I'm not talking about their age, by the way.
Yeah, I hope.
I'm a little creeped out by the mom and daughter thing. I don't think that would turn me on at all.
You know, actually, it's actually a disgusting fantasy of mine.
It is. So, okay. Really, so it's a fantasy of yours, but then you turned it down?
Yeah, I did.
Fail! Epic fail.
Dude, what about Naomi and Ashley Judd? You would hit those, right?
Yeah, I guess with me nowadays, just as I'm getting a little older, I think about, hey, it's going to be an amazing night, but I don't want to wake up with some STD in the morning that I can't get rid of.
So yeah, you can't think smart. Like that, dude. You can't think like that.
Trust me. I had enough fun to where I never did think about that.
Yeah, sure. Now, so, did you change your mind and go back and go, hey, remember when you guys were talking about, and then it didn't work out, or no? Just let it go.
Basically, every time I talk to a friend now, ever since, it's been about 6 weeks, because now I'm just considered gay by every friend I've ever
sure.
had.
Yeah.
Sure, I got you. Members.
That's rightfully so.
Look, we're very proud to have so many gay listeners, and we appreciate you being with us and for calling, Corey. Thank you very much. Let's try, this looks great. Let's try Tony. He's on line 7, talking about sexual experiences that you passed on, and you're still walking around going, don't! Hey, Tony, welcome to the show.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
So I'm delivering pizzas when I was just turned 18, and I was delivering to Whittier College.
Yes.
There was two girls who answered, really cute in their pajamas, and when it went time for me to leave, they both went to hold my hand and said, why don't you come in for your tip? Now, delivering pizzas, we talked about this all the time, but when it came down to it, I almost peed my pants and just said, I have to go.
What? So look, they didn't just say it, they actually grabbed your hand and tried to pull you inside the room and you fought?
Yeah, and if I could go back, I would change it, but unfortunately I can't.
Of course, look, the only reason somebody takes a pizza delivery job is because there's a possibility that that might happen one time.
Yeah, that's true, and my friends also make fun of me about it.
Oh, Tony, they should. That's unbelievable. You're dumb. Thank you for calling.
Tony already knew that. We're just rubbing it in at this point.
Wow. All right,
let's try Ryan. He had a crisis of faith here on line 8. Hey, Ryan, thanks for calling the Kevin Beach Show. What happened?
Good morning, guys. I used to work at a summer camp, and every 2 weeks I'd have a new camp nurse. She could send her kids up and get a discounted rate for them if she worked.
Right.
Well, this one session at the camp, we had the most smoking hot nurse you could possibly think of. All of the guy employees were trying to get at her. Well, her kid was actually in my cabin. I took really good care of him. He was actually a little homesick. So towards the end of the session, I get called into the nurse's office. I'm thinking one of my kids is sick. And there's hot, naughty nurse right there, basically throwing herself at me.
Is that right?
Just saying, yeah. Just she was so just impressed on how well I took care of her son.
I'd like to check out your vitals, something like that.
Yeah. Pretty much. There might be some rubber glove exams going on.
And what happened?
I am actually a pretty devout Christian, so Jesus make me not do it.
Jesus is a bad person.
Look, at least I can understand a religious point of view on this. I mean, the last guy just was afraid. Right. You know what I mean? At least this guy sort of had a reason. But
all right, let me ask you this.
Can't you ask forgiveness? Is he gone?
I believe we lost him. Oh, that's too bad.
Jesus smote him.
Look, Jesus wouldn't pass on a hot chick for you, dude. You shouldn't do it for him. That's what I say. All right, let's try one more. Let's try, how about Ramon on line 7? Let's see what he's talking about. Hey, Ramon, thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show. What happened?
No problem. Good morning. I first moved to L.A., was working in post-production, working with this hot catering girl, and she invites me over to her place.
Right.
So I go over that, you know, she's so hot, she's not going to be into me. Go over, have breakfast. She's like, let's go back to my place. Go back, hang out, talk. And never in my mind did it cross me that, cross my mind that she'd want to have sex. And then later I found out she did.
You mean she was giving you all these signals, including taking you back to her apartment, and you still didn't put two and two together that she might want to be with you?
I was always bad at math.
Wow! But when a woman invites you back to her place, I mean...
Look, I was naive, 22, you know, fresh out of college, just moved to L.A., so...
When did it finally occur to you that maybe she was making a pass at you and you didn't know it?
I think on the drive home, so I thought, what the hell did I do?
Wow, that's not a good choice. All right, Ramon.
Recently, I found her on Facebook, and she totally ignored me, so I think she was probably, I don't know, still pissed about that or something.
Yeah, well, yeah. She didn't want more after you said no? What a surprise. All right, Ramon, thank you for the call. Wow, we got our listeners make some big mistakes sometimes. You want to do any more? Because we got plenty.
I know. We could go all day. I mean, I think basically, I think the message from today's program is, you know, while you see a chance, take it. That's what we're saying.
It's a song reference, isn't it?
It is. It doesn't have to be. I mean, it makes sense on its own if you don't know the song. But I'm just saying.
But you said it because it's a song.
Take the opportunity is what I'm saying. Right. Don't be bad.
Okay.
Thanks to the movie Whippet, the Drew Barrymore-directed and co-starring movie Whippet in theaters, there's been a lot of interest in roller derby lately. And we've got a roller derby league right here in Southern California. I guess you guys hooked up with them last week and put something together with the boys, right?
Well, we have a Kevin and Bean team.
Yeah.
We have a roller derby team that we sponsor. I don't know if you're aware of that, Bean, but...
That all happened while I was on vacation. I do know that I went to KevinandBean.com and I clicked on the video there on the front page. And I do know now that giving Mexican roller skates is like giving a dog an Xbox. There's just nothing they can do with them.
I don't think that it's possible to skate as poorly as Dave did. He had to be joking.
I thought the same thing.
He had to be joking.
I thought the same. I thought about a year ago, we did a video, similar video where I went snowboarding for the first time.
Right.
And I,
you ham it up a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought Dave was doing the same thing. And we quickly realized while we were down there, he wasn't joking around at all.
These aren't inline skates either. These are the
roller skates. Four wheels on each.
And you can, if you're a retarded, you can do it better than Dave.
Listen. When they said, hey, you want a roller skate, I thought... you know what? I don't know how to roller skate, but I'll probably pick it up and it'll be fun.
Right, which is the case for every other human being.
Yeah. Not at all.
I could not get this. And Dave, I've played sports with Dave. He's not retarded. I mean, he's a relatively coordinated guy.
But here's what I don't understand about the video, and this is why I'm with Kevin. I thought you were joking, because I'm not just saying this to be funny. This is true. You could take a 5-year-old and put them on skates, and they would learn how to skate faster than you did.
I believe you. Yeah. I just could not. This was my Achilles heel.
Here's the thing about Dave. He not only could he not skate, he couldn't stand. Literally couldn't stand. Went to his knees just trying to stand up. But at least he got worse as the day went on.
At some point, I actually moved, and then I got all cocky, like, oh, I could do this now. And then, nope.
Every time he'd move an inch, it looked like he got shot by a sniper. He just hit the ground so fast. He would hit the ground so fast.
So it's Psycho Mike, it's Dave the King of Mexico, and it's former intern Beer Mug. Where did you guys go, and who were the ladies in the video?
These are the L.A. Derby Dolls, and they perform and play pretty much every month. And if you're not lucky enough to be in the L.A. area, they stream all their matches at derbydolls.com. These girls are serious when it comes to roller derby.
For people who don't know what roller derby is, I don't even know how you get score. I don't know how you score or whatever.
Well, we kind of learned that. There's two teams, and you switch sides. There's an offense and a defense. And the amount of times that you're able to pass around a certain line of demarcation, you score a point.
I see.
So the defensive team's job is to prevent the other team from getting across that line.
I got it.
And you do that by knocking down the members of the other team.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the beginning. This is Psycho Mike admitting some of his fears.
I was a little bit worried that these ladies might show us a thing or two, maybe hurt us. But then I saw the sissy broads that we have to go up against. Now I'm not worried.
I do not know how to skate.
All right, so that's the beginning of the King of Mexico. And when he says he doesn't know how to skate, there's never been a bigger understatement in the world than that. It's unbelievable. So the guys put on the skates. Mike puts on some kind of sissy pink tank top. I don't know what that
sissy.
Was.
Sissy. It was awesome.
Sissy, yes.
Sissy. The standout stars of our roller derby team, so let's do our best to try to do all the heavy lifting when it comes to really getting down and dirty with these ladies.
Got it.
All right, so that's Psycho Mike and Beer Mug deciding that they need to do the work because King of Mexico is not going to be very much help.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. The machine's not working. I'm sorry. Okay. So then... This machine is...
Technical difficulties.
Yes. So, but you can watch the video at kevinandbean.com, and it is one of the best things I've ever seen, because the girls do fly around in circles, and they abuse you guys.
Yeah.
Elbows.
Yeah.
Knock you over. For Dave, really all they have to do is just touch him on the shoulder and he falls.
And again, you, when you're filming these videos, a lot of times you try to, you know, ham it up for the camera to make it look better. Beer Mug and I did not have to act. They really abused us.
They worked you.
Our butts and upper back were totally black and blue the next day. I mean, they smashed us to the ground. And they move really quickly because they're such good skaters.
Right.
So it was like nonstop open ice checking. You know, if you were to see it like amateur hockey, they were just smashing us down to the ground. Yeah. Good times.
Hey, I think we have one of the Derby dolls on the phone.
Nice.
If I'm reading this correctly, I think this is Elizabeth on line two. Hey, Elizabeth, are you a Derby doll?
No, I play for Orange County Roller Girls.
Oh, it's on.
It's on. It is on.
It is on.
So how big is this these days? I mean, do a lot of people come out and see you guys?
It's getting bigger. The last bout was the most tickets we've ever sold in advance.
And how many was that?
I don't remember. I'm not the one that handles all of the ticket sales and everything.
Right.
So like 50?
So
no, more than 50.
You have some kind of mean nickname?
Betsy Bitch Slapper.
Betsy Bitch Slapper.
Yeah.
There you go. So did Mike explain it correctly? Do you get points by just passing a certain point on the rink every time around?
No, not a point on the rink. What happens is you have a jammer, and she wears what we call panties on the top of her helmet, and it has...
Wait a minute.
Hold on, you're mucking us now.
That was me for our team.
Are we talking about porn?
They put it like the panties essentially on my helmet or the other team's jammer, and you're like the head dude, right? Or head lady.
Well, not head dude or lady.
You would be the scorer, though, right?
The person who scores, okay. Yeah. And what happens is... you have to pass the entire pack one time, and then after you pass the pack, you go around again, and the next time you go around, each girl that you pass from the opposite team, you score 1 point.
Okay,
so do people try to prevent you from passing them like in an auto race? They kind of just get in front of you, and they also can crash into you / knock you down, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It's kind of like checking in hockey.
Right.
And the other people on your team, when you're the jammer, they're trying to like lead block for you.
So yeah. Hold on, let me just see if I've got this right. So Dave, who can't stand up,
right,
is your lead blocker.
Right. This may seem very confusing, and it was to us, but luckily we sucked so bad we didn't even need to understand the rules.
That's true.
They just hit us to the ground over again and over and over again.
Yeah.
So Betsy Bitch Slapper, what's the point of all this? Why do people do it, and why do people come see it?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, especially for a lot of women, you know, you're expected to act a certain way, and it's fun to kind of just get into character because everybody has alter egos. So you get into character and you hit some bitches. It's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. Did you guys have characters, you guys?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry, I wasn't asking you, Elizabeth. I was asking the guys in the studio if they had their mean...
Dave was Bobby Beef Curtain. Okay. I was Willy Wizard Sleeve. Okay. And Beer Mug was the Hebrew Hammer. And he dropped the Hebrew Hammer.
Elizabeth, did you and the girls go see Whippet this weekend?
I haven't seen it. I know there was previews last weekend, and several of the girls went down to Huntington Beach.
I think it's Whip, by the way. I think it's just Whip. Isn't it?
No, it's Whippet.
I was just wondering if it's going to be big for if it's going to be big for your sport, if a lot of women will go see this movie and then they'll want to come down and play.
Yeah, we're anticipating that we're going to get more interest now that the movie is out. I mean, we've known that the movie has been coming out for quite some time now.
Can you take each other's clothes off?
Not a good idea. Well, maybe a good idea.
I'm just
idea
asking
for...
if you want fans. I'm saying you make that legal,
right?
Fans.
Well, there is Renegade Derby, where anything goes.
Yeah.
Renegade Derby. That's where I'm good at.
How do we get the Kevin and Bean team into that? That's what I want to know.
Lingerie Bowl, here we come. All right, Elizabeth, thanks a lot for calling. We appreciate you listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
All right. When's your next match, guys?
Next month, you know.
Tuesday.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Our friend Olivia Munn joins us in about 15 minutes or so. I mean, if you like that sort of thing. She's coming up right now. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, dude?
That makes it an Olivia Monday, right?
Yes, it does.
Oh, come on.
That's a good one.
Wow, how do we do it?
Magic.
They make you laugh, but they also make you think.
Excellent. It's the only possible explanation. Magic.
Magic. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? Zombieland, rightfully number one this weekend. Man, I love this movie. $25 million made it number one. Should have made $25 million.
Should have.
People are slacking. Get out there and go see it.
I know. I'm still,
yeah, slacker.
I know. I'm dying.
Did you guys come up with a new zombie escape plan last week? Did you tackle that?
Took some calls.
Okay, good.
Got some good advice. Got some bad advice. One guy said you can't go anywhere. Just hunker down with a machete.
Yeah.
Sounds poor advice to me.
That didn't seem like that was a good plan. But Bean, you know who works here at the radio station is Aisa. I forgot that she's crazy. And we talked to her.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
About her plan.
She wants to use the radio station here as a ground base.
She's got it all planned out. I believe she's storing food. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was number two at the box office. Then Toy Story and Toy Story 2. That double feature and re-release in 3D was third. The Invention of Lying, the new Ricky Gervais movie, was fourth. Surrogates was five. Capitalism, A Love Story, then Whip It. Fame, The Informant, and Love Happens, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations! Jay Leno had a reason to make fun of David Letterman the other night.
Sure.
Leno apparently took a shot at his old pal David Letterman in his Friday night monologue on his The Jay Leno Show, 10 o'clock on NBC. He joked with the crowd. He said, if you came here tonight for sex with a talk show host, you've got the wrong studio. Oh, Jay.
See, because it wasn't him?
Jay should add it. If you came here tonight for comedy, then you've got the wrong studio. Should have mentioned that to the poor crowd that had gathered to see his show. Have you watched any of that show?
But how is it?
Have you been able to sit through any of that show?
No. After the first night where they had that really, really long piece with the guy that sings,
yes,
I didn't watch. But how is it any different than the Tonight Show? I mean,
it's not.
The thing is, people are awake now.
Oh, they're awake.
They're awake and they're watching it with a certain sense of alertness,
expecting
and they're going,
something to happen.
Holy crap! Did we watch this late at night? And he was getting this stuff past me, and I didn't notice. That he's not funny, and he's horribly uncomfortable being on television after 20 years.
Like yeah.
It is fascinating that the ratings are really bad on it.
Yes.
I mean, aren't there some nights where he's been fifth in the time slot, right,
yes,
Russ? But that it's so cheap to do that show. I mean, they can do a whole week's worth of Jay Leno shows for what it used to cost for 1 hour of a drama, like a CSI or right, you know, a Law and Order or something like that. So NBC's fine with that. I know the show's bad, and I know ratings are low, but we're making money on it, so we'll keep it on the air.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
not
a weird way to run a network.
He's not going anywhere, trust me. But it's hard to watch it.
Yeah. He was never my style anyway.
I never thought he was funny either. But
originally loved Letterman.
But I think the
Jimmy
Tonight
Kimmel.
Show, the weight of the Tonight Show,
yeah,
being the captain of the Tonight Show, carried him for a long time because the Tonight Show was such an institution. Now right, it's just Jay Leno. Now he's being judged on his own merits, and he's left wanting.
Mm. And look, I think Conan is fine too, but that's no longer the Tonight Show either.
No.
As far as I'm concerned.
No.
I think we're so far past from what the Tonight Show used to be that now it's just another late night program.
Yeah. And there are so many other choices now, too.
Jimmy Kimmel's right, the only one that I can watch regularly, and maybe that's because I have a sense of humor. But
I like Jimmy's show. I like Dave's show.
I like Craig.
Too.
Yeah.
I like
Craig.
Letterman makes me laugh on a regular basis. You know what else makes me laugh? The hot and heavy relationship between Russell Brand and Katy Perry.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, God damn it indeed.
Yeah.
Look, I know the ladies find him dirty sexy or whatever they call him.
Mm-hmm.
But Katy Perry, come on.
Yeah.
Katy Perry?
That's not right.
It's not right.
It all happened at the MTV Video Music Awards. Nice job, Kevin.
Well, remember, she came out singing, and then he interrupted her
with his
entry. I was like, what are you doing? Let her sing.
And backstage, apparently, he wrote her a poem, pouring out his heart to her, how much he liked her and found her attractive, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then he sent her the poem
and
asked for one in return.
Yes.
So what she did was took a photo of her cans, wrote poem across the top of the picture, and sent it back to him. And ever since then, the two have been inseparable.
Great knockers.
They have recently slipped away for a vacation to Thailand.
Hey, boobs.
I wonder if they went to Bangkok.
Oriental City.
That's in Thailand.
It sure is.
What's wrong with you people? God, you can't say anything.
Giant size cans.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Cartoonist Bill Keane is 87 years old today. Let me tell you something about Bill Keane.
Yeah, I don't recognize the name.
Oh, you don't, huh? Let me tell you what crimes against humanity this bastard has committed.
I don't read the comics.
There's a comic strip. You read it. You must have read it at some time. You couldn't avoid it, called Family Circus.
Yeah!
Yeah, that was, yeah, with the little Billy, whatever, and they would have little dotted lines as he hopped around the room and all that BS is not funny.
Yeah, all I remember about that is that I didn't even get it.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
Hmm.
And it's been around for 100 years.
This guy's made a good living?
He's made a ton of cash off this. Oh, it makes Garfield look like Monty Python in comparison.
And you hate Garfield.
Oh, man. He's 87 years old. That's horrible that he's still alive. It's horrible. Jeff Conaway from Taxi is 59 years old today. He, of course, from Celebrity Rehab as
Better known from Celebrity Rehab.
That's right. I'm gonna get out of here. 911.
Seeing him say
when
that
he started
a lot
yelling
on the
911. I'm gonna get the hell out of here.
He thought he could just say it into the air and the authorities would arrive. Wasn't he also? My memory is fuzzy on this, but didn't he also claim credit for the success of the movie Grease?
Well,
like he was the star of Grease.
He was Kinnicky in Grease. Sure. He did star in that film along with John Travolta, but he hardly, I think, was responsible.
Right,
for
like the first couple episodes. Remember his rant where he was talking about being raped at like 4 years old?
They tied me to train tracks and raped me and came at me with a machete and cut me in half. And then my bottom half ran away and the top half just had to sit there and get raped again.
Pretty sure that's what his story was, the Dr. Drew.
I think you're remembering it accurately.
They made me take pictures of myself being raped by me.
He might have been confused by the drugs a little bit.
I think he may have.
And he had that dependent girlfriend, too, right?
He had
to be on the show, too.
In another season of Celebrity Rehab, entered the same rehab on the other side of the door, and she'd bang on the door, Jeff, I love you!
Poor Dr. Drew is trying to keep him apart.
Jeff, you really can't talk to her through the door,
this
Jeff.
Isn't healthy.
This isn't healthy. You have to go back to your room.
911!
Poor Jeff Conaway.
He's the best.
I love him.
Guy Pearce from Memento and other feature films. Like The Changeling. I saw The Changeling for the first time on, it's been on cable a bunch lately.
The Changeling?
Yeah.
It's not bad, is it?
It's Angelina Jolie plays the true story of a woman who lost her son in Los Angeles in like the 20s.
Hmm.
And the cops found her son, in quotes, and gave her this kid after about 9 months.
Oh, yes.
And she said, this isn't my son. They go, yeah, it is. Shut up. It's your kid. Because they wanted to have the case closed. And he plays the police captain in that film, and he's excellent. It's really quite a good film. Clint Eastwood directed it. I was surprised how much I liked it. Josie Bissett from Melrose Place is 39 years old today. Kate Winslet turns 34. And Nikki Hilton, sister of Paris Hilton, turns 26 years old today.
911!
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. 1 hour from right now, our friend comedian Kevin Nealon is going to be here. And we'll tell you, I hope, if we're lucky and the wheel lands on it, I hope we're going to be able to tell you about the marauding raccoon gang that's going around killing people in Florida. Because that's an unbelievable story.
A gang of raccoons attacking old people. That's the best.
No way to tell because we got to spin the wheel. We got to keep it legit. So we don't know if that's the story we're going to tell you, but I'm hoping it lands on that. All right. Our next guest is the co-host of the very popular Attack of the Show, airing weeknights at 7 on the G4. She is on the phone from New York City right now, ladies and gentlemen. Our friend Olivia Munn joining us now on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, everyone.
How are you, Olivia? How are you, girlfriend?
I'm doing good. I know I was supposed to be there, but I thought since Bean doesn't have to come in, I'm not coming in either.
Yeah, that's odd because
we
were expecting you to be here, and then all of a sudden you went to New York. You just do that on a whim?
On a whim. No, I had a photo shoot this weekend, and I ended up having to stay a little bit longer for some work. So
I see. Okay.
But I'll be back tomorrow night.
All right.
Speaking of photo shoots, because I follow your Twitter, you're very entertaining, Olivia. Was this a joke? Am I out of the loop? Is there a prank happening? Am I a victim of a scam here, or is there going to be an Olivia magazine?
There is. There's these people that are creating like magazines. They're calling them My Mag, and they're going out to different celebrities like Brett Ratner, Steve Aoki, Russell Simmons, Pharrell Williams. I believe I'm the first female in the series, but everyone kind of gets to make their own magazine. Like the back half of the magazines are magazines that you like Vogue, or for me it's Wired and Geek Monthly and all those magazines. And then the first half of the magazine is just stuff that you're going to put in. Like I've got like a photo shoot for me because that's what my fans like. But then also, I'm doing like Twitter questions. I took questions from fans and published in the magazine. And also, really, what I'm really excited about is that we were going to put an antique Iron Man comic strip in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked Marvel, and they said, well, why don't we just, like, make a whole new comic strip with Olivia and Iron Man in it together?
What?
I know. No way.
Come on.
I was so excited. That was, like, the best news ever.
So
that's it.
What happens to this magazine? Is it something that you'll give away, or you'll sell it on the website, or what?
Yeah, I think I did it, and then they sell it on the website. It's, there's going to be, like, a website, which is mymag.com, I think. And so then you'll see all the magazines on there, and you can click on it, and then you can buy it. And then
is there only one episode? I mean, are you going to do more?
I don't know. I know. I think that there's the hope to do more, but it's so hard. I don't think I want to do it.
It's so hard.
I don't know much about the magazine publishing world, but is Kevin right? Are they called episodes? Because I always heard they were issues.
No, they're episodes. It's the new thing. Issues, the old word.
actually.
Olivia, that's very exciting news, by the way. I look forward to seeing that. You are on the TV tonight on some imaginary show on the ABC Family Channel that you made up called Greek.
Now, this can't exist. I shoot with my flip camera. Mm-hmm. I go on to different colleges, and then I edit my own show. It's pretty awesome.
That's nice. You have your own magazine and your own show.
I just create everything by myself because no one will give me a job.
Sure.
Except to create myself.
Of course, you have been doing a fair amount of acting, and I remember the last time we had you, and you told us you had just filmed or were filming The Greek, and you love this show, right?
Yeah, everyone on it is so much fun, and they do a really good job, I think, depicting like how real college life can be.
Right.
It's obviously a little bit heightened because it's on TV and it's ABC Family, but they do such a great job of depicting like the relationships, and my character is. She's actually not in a sorority. It's all about sorority fraternity life, but my character is not. So she's kind of like the bartender in town.
You're the rebel? Oh, you're the bartender.
The rebel. The bartender, waitress girl.
Ah, you're the hot waitress that moves into town and causes an uprising, so to speak?
It's exactly that.
Okay.
Is it a one episode deal tonight, or do you have an arc?
Well, first of all, thanks for watching. I was on last week. I appreciate that. Thanks for the support. You can follow me on Twitter. tonight, and then I have like another episode later. It's like three episodes,
but not in a row.
No,
you're making us work too hard, Olivia.
Would be in a row,
right? But then the third one's not.
Well, the third one, not next week, but the week after that. You have to create some suspense or something, okay. Especially since you have to give me time to shoot it myself.
Okay.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of suspense of the Greek fans wondering when the waitress is going to come back into the plot line. I can see that.
The sarcasm is insulting. Clearly you aren't reading my Twitter, because people are going crazy about it.
I'm sure. Everyone's talking about Greek. No, everyone's Greek is all anyone's talking about right now.
I know. I can't even walk through New York without stopping me.
Of course.
Have you ever been able to, because this is the dream of Kevin and me, we're not actors, of course, but if we were, we'd only shoot death scenes. Have you ever been able to be killed in a movie or a TV show?
I shot this movie for Sony Screen Gem called Insanitarium. It's exactly what you think it is.
Awesome.
And I actually got the role, and once we got it, they extended my role. I was supposed to like die like in the middle of the movie, and then extended it to like almost like the very end.
Nice.
And I had this like, you know, they have the stunt people. Well, basically, it's like an insane asylum where a doctor's giving people this whatever drug, and then it ends up making them into like zombies or something.
Awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah, you might have heard about it. It's up for the Academy Awards, whatever. It's not a big deal. Anyways, so there's a scene where there's this little like she's seriously maybe like 4 feet tall, little midget nurse who was like gonna attack me.
Right.
And I opened the door, and she like the thing was the shooting the scene was so freaking scary because this little like, no offense to anybody that's a midget, seriously. I mean, it is
no, but they're
weird.
Scary.
It is a little weird. Yeah. A midget, but I mean, their arms are so short.
Right.
But she just like turns around, she has to jump on me and then like bite my neck, and then like and then Jesse Metcalf was in it. Really exciting for me too. And so then Jesse's got to pull her off, and then like I'm on the ground, and then I'm sitting there dying with blood going everywhere.
That's the best.
You had that's a nice, so awesome,
juicy death scene.
It was. The worst is that I kept my BlackBerry in my pocket the whole time, and so I had to get a new one because there's just blood stuck in every.
It's not good for BlackBerries.
Is that on DVD? Could I Netflix that?
I'm sure you can. It's probably at the top of everyone's queue right now.
That's true. It'll take a while. It'll take a while.
I'll see if I can burn you a copy.
All right. And last question for you, Olivia, since you're traveling and on the road. What happens to your little attack of the show? Are you still going to be on that tonight or no?
No, I'm not. I think they're just going to have somebody else come in.
Just anyone else?
I'm be more involved. I don't know. I know. They'll bring somebody else in. I think, and then I'll be off today and tomorrow, but I'll be back on Wednesday. And I'm coming into your studio Wednesday morning.
Fantastic.
If you decide to show up.
I don't even know. I might go to Seattle with Bean, put on some pajamas, hang out.
All right. Check out Greek tonight on the ABC Family Channel at 9 with Olivia Munn, and then wait 2 weeks for the exciting return of the waitress after tonight's episode. Olivia, always great to talk to you, my dear. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'll see you guys Wednesday.
Thanks, bye.
Just got word of one of our listeners who wants to get a member of the Kevin and Bean Show tattooed on his or her body. I can't imagine that that's a good idea, but we'll find out more when we talk to him or her in about 15 minutes. Plus, comedian Kevin Nealon on the way. Right now, though, I think we got the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, we're out of time.
What's on the wheel, or what the hell should we just call it? Talk to the raccoons.
Pimp and Chimps, Japanese Attack Bear, Russian Dog Girl, Suicide New York City Turtles. Whatever. It doesn't make any difference, does it? I mean, seriously. Hey, I'm spinning the wheel. Okay. Now it landed on the Raccoon Gang Attack.
Oh, that sounds interesting. What's that story
this
all about?
This is the best. I don't know. A 74-year-old woman. And when I say this is the best, I mean the best.
Unless you're the woman, right?
A 74-year-old woman in Florida was attacked by a gang of raccoons. Now, apparently what happened was she opened the door to shoo her. I guess they were on her porch, and she wanted to shoo the animals away. So she opened the door, and they attacked.
Okay, this is kind of freaky.
It's a raccoon gang.
I have raccoons at my house, and they are fairly fearless in that you can be outside with them, and they don't run and hightail it. But if you get close enough, then they turn and go. They certainly don't come toward you and attack. That's the part of the story that surprises me.
I've had a stare down with a raccoon, and they will not back down. I mean, they will just look at you like you're going to die. But to attack as a gang, I mean, this is an all-new high.
She fell down and they enveloped her, said the sheriff, by the way. She literally was bitten and scratched from her face and chest all the way down to her legs. So they mauled her,
yes. These
raccoons did. And producer Alex has lined up, what, the sheriff in Lakeland,
Polk County
Florida?
Sheriff Grady Judd we've got on the phone. Hello, Grady.
What's up, fool?
Is this Sheriff Judd?
Sheriff Judd, eh? My name's Victor. I'm a raccoon and I'm crazy, fool.
Wait a minute. You're one of the raccoons in the gang?
Shocking, right? Who would have thought? Like, you'd be talking to a crazy raccoon, eh?
So
like, I'm loco. I don't care. I don't care. That? You know what I'm saying? Like,
you don't care.
That old lady, she's just the first on my list. Hey, I got my whole crew right here. I got Scissor Lip. What's up? I got my homegirl Chancla. She don't even know. And then I got Ray the Maniac up in here. Hola, what's up, home? And there's Bum and Donut. All the homeboys are up in here. We're like right now we're just like celebrating, you know, we're sitting back smoking some wet cigarette, like listening to some music, and it's a party because, like, you know, we're taking over.
No.
Like down here, it's just first it's gonna be like Florida's, then it's gonna be like the whole like southeast, and then like all over the country, fool.
Okay.
We're crazy. We're local.
Are you the first raccoon gang?
Nah, man.
You're not.
Nah, dude, you don't even want to know because, like, we're crazy like nocturnals. You know, like, we don't sleep, fool.
Right.
So, like, when all you humans are, like, you know, you're like Betty Bide, you know, doing sweet dreams.
Right.
You know, counting sheep, fool. Like, we're out doing dirt, and that's what happens, fool. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't mess with us. I got, like, them fancy teeth in my grill, and I'll bite you good.
Right.
And I got my, like, razor hands. You know what I'm saying? Like, a razor, like, bah.
But this 74-year-old woman was just trying to get you off her porch.
Nah, fool. Like, her primo, her cousin, I know that homeboy. His name's Ray. And, like, he tried to hook up with my little cousin, you know? And, like, I heard he drank too much, like, at the Bacardi. And, like, he was, like, all touching her, all stupid, you know? So, like, this is what she gets. She don't even know. She don't even know. That's right, Chocolate.
I'm sorry, leader of the raccoon gang. What's your name again?
My name?
Yeah.
Oh, my name's Victor, fool. But you can call me Trucha.
Trucha.
Trucha. Yeah. What does that mean? What's Trucha mean?
I think it means trout. Doesn't make much sense because I'm a raccoon.
No. Right.
All
right.
So well, I should have looked up what the Spanish word for raccoon was.
Well, that would have helped.
Yeah.
That would have made a lot more sense. I can't tell if I'm more impressed by the fact that you're running your own gang,
right,
that you can talk, or that you're listening to Art LeBeau's Super Oldies. I can't figure out which.
I'm your puppet, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, can I make a request, by the way? You guys should like the radio, huh?
Yes.
All right, I want to hear Always and Forever by Heat Wave. I want to dedicate that to my little girl, Chunka, right here. Say what's up, Haina.
Say what's up.
I want to dedicate to her because, like, she doesn't even know. And by the way, like, as soon as we get done with you guys, we're gonna sex her into the gang.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
Air tight.
Okay.
You don't even know.
Right, I've heard that.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I want to say a special hello to Kevin and Bean listener Trent this morning, who is on an American Airlines flight listening to us through the internet with the online Wi-Fi. He's flying from Washington, D.C. to Dallas right now, listening to us at 30,000 feet. How
That's
crazy
weird.
Is that?
We can do that now?
That is fantastic technology. Sitting here with my headphones on, laughing my ass off, not having to hear all the other noises associated with commercial flights. So thanks, Trent, for checking us out in the air, dude.
I'll bet he's not annoying anyone on that flight. All right, let's. I have a question for you people because I'm not a big spa guy. I don't spa a lot. I do have a back injury, so from time to time I get a massage, one of those elbow in the back massages, not the kind Psycho Mike likes to do.
Oh, not the good massages.
But every once in a while, I go on vacation. About once a year, my wife talks me into getting a facial. All jokes aside,
right?
So, and I've stopped arguing. I go, you know what? I don't really take care of myself. If you think that would be good for me, that's fine. I'll do it. So she said something in a honey lemon facial or something, and I don't know one facial from the next. I don't know what they are.
There is a new way to get a facial.
Yeah, that's not that kind, though. So I just say, okay, fine, you know, whatever, I'll do it. Sounds good. She starts describing it to me. I'm like, you don't even need to describe it. It's fine. I'll do it. No problem.
Some people say that's good for your hair.
So I go in there, and they do what is normally a facial, and then they poured honey on my body.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever heard of this? Honey.
No, I haven't.
And it was like store-bought honey. It smelled like honey, and they slathered my entire body in honey. My legs, my waist, my stomach, my chest, with honey.
And then they let the bees in, and hilarity ensued?
Right, and I kept thinking, am I getting punked? Like, do people do this for real, or is Ashton Kutcher going to just bust through the door and laugh? Because
what's the honey supposed to do for you?
I don't know. So I sat there, and then they wrap you in this towel. Maybe you spa people could let me know if this is just someone having a laugh at my expense. But it was gross, and it smelled like honey smells, and it was gooey.
But here's what I'm confused about. Yes, please, if you know what the honey thing is about, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. I thought the reason you were going in.
Me too.
Okay.
Me too.
Because this doesn't sound like it has anything to do with a facial or with a massage that might help your back.
Right.
This is just completely...
See, senor.
See what we can talk Kevin into is
right.
What this is.
So then I went back to my room, and my wife was laughing, and I said, you knew that was going to happen, didn't you? And she said, yep. And I said, why do people do that? Do they submerge themselves in honey? And if so, why? And she said, it's good for your skin. That's it. That happens. People get honey on them on purpose.
Mike, you're practically a girl when it comes to skin. What is the thinking behind that? Why is that good for your skin? And how is it better than any number of other things
right.
you could do?
It must remove impurities or something.
It's gross.
Like a lot of the like girly body scrubs or facial washes and stuff have honey in them. I don't
right,
know what
but that's what I thought. It was like the honey. It was like the smell of honey lemon or something. Right. That's what I was taking for granted. And then I go in there and they slather me up with honey, and it's just disturbing on every level. Yes, Alex.
Okay, I am a spa whore.
Yes.
I've never even been wrapped in honey.
Okay, see, that's what I'm saying.
But they do these body wraps. She probably booked you a facial and then a body wrap.
Okay.
And honey is known for its moisturizing properties and its antibacterial.
Right, but so is moisturizer.
Right, that's the thing is, why do they have to slather me in honey?
Because the new trend now in spas is to make everything as natural and organic as possible. They'll crush up fresh fruit, for the antioxidants and include it in facials and stuff.
Okay.
For, like, the enzymes
but
with
they include
pineapple
it as part of a mixture.
Yes.
This was just pouring honey on
well,
me.
Honey's all good by itself. You don't need to do, you know, need to do anything to it.
It's messy and gross. And
you were, like,
I did not like it.
I mean, yeah, it's good. It's good on ice cream and in
right.
coffee. It doesn't have to be on your nipples.
Did they warm you? Because so sometimes I've had the wrap where they'll wrap you in
it
saran
was
wrap
hot.
And then a towel, and they make you
warm
and
about
cozy.
I don't know about a saran wrap. No, it was just honey. They just put honey on me, and I just knew that they were effing with me. I just figured this has
by
got
way,
to be some type of joke.
That seems like a lot of honey would be required
right.
for that, too, for
thank
a guy
God.
Of your size. I mean, think how many bees are working overtime in the back room to manufacture that.
This
I
is
know.
Where all the bees are going. They're trying to
they're
supply
all dying.
Honey for Kevin.
Hey, I didn't want it. And then afterwards, I was like, this was gross. I don't want to have any part of this.
How did your skin feel afterwards?
Really, really soft and nice.
let's talk to Deborah real quick. She is a beauty salon owner, seems to know something about this online four, please. Hi, Deborah. Thanks for calling the Kevin Amin Show. Was Kevin punked, or is there something to this honey wrap?
Oh, no. This is a totally legitimate treatment for toning the skin, making it soft and supple, just as you felt afterwards. And it's not a punk or a trick. It's a real...
So you actually pour honey on people, and then they say, yes, this is what I want. This feels good.
Actually, yes. Most of the time, we use it on the face, the neck, the arms, the chest, the breast, but... What you had was a full body, and that's a very luxurious treatment, and also
it didn't feel luxurious. It felt dirty, like I needed to take a shower right away because I had honey on me.
Yeah, I can understand.
And as a guy, you know, you have hair on your arms or whatever. It was really gross. I didn't enjoy that.
Well,
Deborah,
I think you're very brave for doing it because
I didn't know I was doing it. I mean, I had no idea. My wife has a great sense of humor that way. She always sets me up, and for some reason, I don't see it coming. She knew that's what was going to happen and that I wouldn't like it.
I'm very impressed that you were able to go through that. And actually, you know, I'm really happy to hear that because I think it encourages other men to maybe take a look at, like, not only their face, but, you know, taking care of the body as well.
Right, but don't do the honey thing. I'm saying don't do the honey thing because the honey is sticky.
It is very sticky.
Deborah, let me ask you this. How is there anything in honey that's better than a moisturizer, though? I mean, if that's what you're trying to do to your skin.
Well, honey has a property in it that helps the skin and nourishes it to tighten and tone. Moisturizer is just basically a hydration, and it helps keep moisture levels up.
Right, but
honey
but in one, it's a moisturizer, and the other, you're dipped in honey. And honey's,
that's true.
Honey's gross.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't feel... Honey is gross. I like to eat it. I don't want to bathe in it.
Well, I'm sure it's a preference, but I believe that your skin is just a true tale, and anyone who feels it or touches it, come on, somebody touch it and tell me how it feels.
Let
right
me
now.
Feel you. Feel him. Huh? Rub on him, Mike.
Kevin feels nice.
Yeah.
Good. All right, Deborah, awesome. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye.
I've been roaming around, always looking down.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-K.
Hey!
No.
And hey!
It's, nope. And it's 8:53.
Hey!
No.
This is the Kevin Amin Show. Kevin Nealon is here. He joins us in just a few minutes. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for him. Monday, what's going on?
Well, top 10 movies at the box office, as we look at every Monday morning. According to Variety, Zombieland is number one, $25 million. And deserved every penny of it. What a great movie. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs came in at number two. Toy Story and Toy Story 2 in its re-release. Bolstered up by 3D.
Sure.
Came in at number three. $12.5 million made that. So, The Invention of Lying. New Ricky Gervais movie was fourth. Surrogates was fifth. Then there was a tie between Capitalism, A Love Story, and Whip It. Fame came in at number eight. The Informant and Love Happens. Your 10th in the box office derby this weekend.
Guys, I wanted to see the Ricky Gervais movie, did not, but I'm seeing great reviews for it. Will I like it?
Yes, you will. It's, I really enjoyed it. It's very entertaining and very smart, very well written, very well directed. And Ricky Gervais is awesome.
He's talented.
He's God, right?
I don't think he's God, but he's talented.
And that Jennifer Affleck's not too bad either.
Yeah.
Jennifer Affleck Garner?
Yes, her. Exactly. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Good news for those of us who are Arrested Development fans. Mitch Hurwitz has announced that the Arrested Development script is in development for the major feature film version of that TV show.
Fantastic.
Hurwitz had said he wouldn't start writing a film unless all the main actors, including Jason Bateman, Michael Cera, David Cross, Will Arnett, Portia de Rossi, and Jeffrey Tambor, were committed, and they are all on board. So they're going to start forging ahead. Now, of course, scheduling might be difficult because Jason Bateman and Will and Michael Cera all have TV and film careers, but looks like everyone's going to be able to carve out some time in their schedule. Ron Howard is involved, of course, his production company, Imagine, was behind it on television. So it looks like it's going to go forward, and we can look forward to it, at least filming in the spring, they suggest now, and then maybe released the end of that year or the beginning of the following. So, speaking of movies I'd like to see, Quentin Tarantino has announced his plans for Kill Bill 3.
Yeah!
No kidding!
He says he wants to make another installment of the successful Kill Bill series, and that he wants to put a... the film, this third film, will take place 10 years after the second film.
Okay. Did Bill die? I don't remember the end of the second
film. Sure.
I think he did die in
Kill
the second
Bill.
One. Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, they did the 5 second...
That's why it's
second,
called Kill Bill. That's right. The touch of death touch or whatever.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Remember, he walks up to her and
so
all
goes
down?
So what's this one going to be about?
Killing Remember some Bill? Other guy named Bill.
Killing another guy named Bill.
Some All other right. Bill. Okay. Bill Belichick, hopefully. Hopefully they'll kill him.
They'll put him out of his misery,
That'll be the choice. Strangle him with his hoodie.
No one has ever won more games and been more miserable about it than Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
They're shooting for a 2014 release date.
A 2014?
Yes. That'll be 10 years after the second one.
Okay.
So he's good to go. Uma Thurman will be 44. Just the right age to kick some more ass.
Okay.
With her walker and her oxygen tank. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Where are they?
I don't know.
Where is that list?
I don't usually have the list.
Oh, here it is now.
Yeah.
Nikki Hilton. She is the sister of Paris Hilton. She is a successful, attractive woman in her own right and seems not to be insane. What happened to her?
Yeah, that is odd.
She must be adopted. 26 years old today. Kate Winslet from Titanic and from many other successful motion pictures is 34 years old.
Hey, Ralph. Sorry to interrupt. Do you think the Hilton girls watch Mad Men and think how weird that is to see their grandfather portrayed on that show?
Call me Connie.
Yeah, it must be so weird for them. I mean, they're watching their grandfather being played by this actor on this hit TV show right now.
You see, Kevin, Conrad Hilton was the man who started the Hilton chain of hotels.
Right.
And he's a character on Mad Men now.
The Hilton family fortune is based on that, and now Don Draper from Mad Men is being the ad executive for Conrad Hilton.
I see.
That's what's currently going on in Mad Men. I know you're only halfway through the first episode of Mad Men.
It's
in that
pretty
box
good so far,
set.
Though.
It's very entertaining so far.
He's going to get caught up.
So far, it's pretty good.
But that's what's currently going on.
All right.
Good season.
Your answer,
year, by the way,
Bean, is no.
They don't think they're
no
watching Mad Men?
Well,
I thought Nikki might be watching Mad
Men. Sunday night and tunes into Mad
And if she does, she goes, it's weird. He has the same last name as us. I wonder if we're related. Parmenum.
What?
Parminder Nagra.
Oh, yeah.
From
ER.
Bend It Like Beckham and ER is 34 years old today. Josie Bissett from Melrose Place is 39. Guy Pearce from Memento and turns out not the Changeling is 42. Last
the one
hour,
that you just watched?
I mentioned that he was in the Changeling. Turns
right.
out it's Jeffrey Donovan from Burn Notice.
Oh.
Who, if you put him in a lineup, I wouldn't be able to pick out which was which.
Hmm.
They are very similar, those two guys. So, my bad. I mistakenly identified Jeffrey as Guy Pearce. Not the same actor. Not.
Not in that movie.
Not in that movie. 42 years old today. Clive Barker, successful author and director and screenwriter, is 57. Jeff Conaway from Taxi and, more importantly, Celebrity Rehab. He's the best. He is 59. I wonder what's going on with Jeff Conaway.
What do you think?
Back pain and pills?
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe he's clean and sober.
There's no way. Did you see?
Maybe he's running a marathon.
Did you
watch he hosted the Kevin and Bean show last week.
That could be.
For all I know.
That could be.
That's what he could be up to.
That's possible.
What's that noise? Was the noise tree cleaner?
Strawberry ice cream on my face.
It raped me on a train track.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Jeff Conway's 59 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I can't wait for mealtime when I can chow down on the decomposing corpse of a tortured animal.
Well, you know, I've always liked watching The View, nauseating. I mean, it's a show that, and I mean, to be working with these lovely co-host hookers, I mean, what's better than that?
I'm not a big fan of flying, you know, because you got people taking their shoes off because of the shoe bomber, right? And they're standing around their socks and their bare feet. And I'm thinking, why couldn't it have been the bra bomber? You know? I got a call from Playboy magazine, and they asked if I would review three adult films. And the first one, here's what I thought, it was called Wanda Whips Wall Street, and this was starring Veronica Hart. Very attractive. I found myself interested right away. And then I got more interested, and then very interested, very, very interested, very interested, then suddenly no interest at all.
You know our next guest from Saturday Night Live and the hit show Weeds. Please welcome Kevin Nealon.
We are, in fact, welcoming Kevin Nealon back to the Kevin and Bean Show. You can own a piece of him. I'm reading on his Twitter right now as his new stand-up special, Now Hear Me Out, is in stores starting tomorrow. Hey, Kevin Nealon, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing very good. How are you guys doing?
Very well. This, Hear Me Out, this is the Showtime special that I watched plus more, right?
That is correct. It's the Showtime special, and then there's some bonus tracks in there. I actually do an audio commentary on my stand-up act.
So you comment on your own act.
Can you listen to
both at the same time?
You probably could. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And so you're getting like two bits at once right there. You know, I'm talking about the jokes and how I came up with them and what this particular joke means to me or how I feel about what I'm wearing and what the audience members mean to me and things like that.
How do you like the act?
By the way,
are you good?
It's very funny.
Do you review it well? Yes.
When I'm standing on stage doing my act, and I find this to be quite common with myself, I'm always thinking whenever I do a bit or something, I always kind of reminisce about how I came up with that as I'm doing it.
Well, you need
isn't that interesting?
And the people that,
you
I,
seem
that
bored.
I was with.
I mean, it's not bored, but you seem like you.
No, you're right. Bored.
You need to pack it a little tighter.
I can multitask while I'm on stage.
I can't concentrate on one thing. Let alone think about the behind the scenes of how it came about.
No, I think you're right. If Kevin Nealon has time to reminisce on stage between jokes, maybe he ought to put the jokes closer together. I think that's a good point.
I remember one time I was on the road and I brought the box set of Lost with me.
Right.
And I was so intrigued with the show, and I would watch like a few episodes at the hotel before I went to the gig. And I remember being on stage doing my act. And I had about maybe 20 minutes to go, and all I was thinking about was Lost.
Yeah, you're ripping those people off.
Yeah.
Do those people know that you're thinking, I wonder what happens to Ben on the island?
No, not at all.
All right.
Not at all.
But I think there have to be, I mean, you have a set that you've been doing that I know is probably going to change now that the special is out there. But, I mean, you know it pretty well. You've done it a few times. And you can afford to let your mind wander some, right?
I can. I don't always do the same set. You know me, I'm a train of thought. I just go off. You know, I'm so talented like that.
You are talented like that.
I don't think I've ever repeated a joke. So, you know. But even as I'm talking to you guys, I'm thinking about something totally different
right now.
What
are you thinking about? Like, where you can eat lunch? Or?
I'm thinking about some storage space. I have a public storage unit. I need to condense that stuff.
Okay.
In there.
It has a lot of propofol in it?
It's got some propofol that I have to either use or get rid of.
Okay.
I got a lot of stuff in there I don't use.
We've been lucky enough to, I don't know if you'd consider us friends, but we certainly consider you a friend of the program. You've been very kind to come in over the years, but I find myself learning new stuff about you all the time. And I want to find out if this is true, because I saw some of your interview on the Kevin Pollak chat show. He's a very popular internet interviewer.
Yeah.
You told a story on there, and I can never tell with you if it's for reals or if you're just making a joke.
I know. I have about a problem with that.
People
never know if I'm kidding, but I typically am serious, but sometimes I let them think I'm kidding because I'm a little embarrassed about what I'm saying.
I see. Okay.
In this case, you talked about taking a night class at some college so that you could play football, and you played college football for a year.
I did. I did.
That's real.
Is real. I took a course in criminology at Fairfield University, a night course.
At what university?
Fairfield University in Connecticut.
Okay.
And I went to the class maybe twice.
And it was just so you could play football?
Just so I could qualify to, you know.
What kind of
football
team did they have? Clearly not a very good
It was a woman's team.
You compounded the lie by saying then you decided to move to Southern California because you thought you had a shot at the USFL. Now, the Kevin Nealon that I know is not a professional athlete.
That is true. That is true. And that's behind me right now. But it was probably one of the highlights of my life was playing that one year in football because I always wanted to play football, organized. I played sandlot football, and we played tough games. You know, we had our own equipment and stuff. And,
right.
What position
did you play?
I played quarterback.
Okay.
Quarterback and kicker and punter. And so USFL was happening at the time in Los Angeles, and I was coming out here to do stand-up. And, you know, it always helped to have a gimmick with your stand-up, something, you know,
right,
a hook. And so I thought if I was like a punter on the USFL football team, that would be a kind of a good handle for me.
So you didn't really want to do that. You just wanted to have that as something.
I did want to do it, but I also wanted to do stand-up comedy.
Okay.
But I had such
a good
time.
Did you try out for the USFL?
No, the stand-up took off before. Okay. But I was going to Fairfax High School every day, and I had like 10 footballs I was practicing, you know, kicking. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And the USFL footballs were a lot lighter. That league doesn't exist anymore, of course, but they were a little bit lighter than an NFL football.
So you could really skyrocket them.
Yeah, yeah, you could.
Comparatively.
You could.
Do you, I mean, you must have been delighted when the stand-up started happening for you and you, it became clear you could make a living as a comic. But was there a part of you that was a little bummed out to kind of leave the football dreams behind?
It was. It was. And to this day, I have not left it behind. In fact, if we talk about the public storage unit.
Sure.
Not the public, but my storage unit. And I was going through some boxes, condensing things, and I came across like two or three of those USFL footballs, and I took them out to bring home because I have a 2.5-year-old now, and I want to start warming up my arm because I haven't thrown in a long time.
Warming it up for what?
To play catch with him.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I can't.
You need to warm up to play catch?
When was the last time you threw a football? I do. I have to warm up to walk with him.
Okay. That's the beauty of being an older parent, I guess.
That's right. That's right. I cannot walk into his nursery without waking him up because my joints, my knees start popping and cracking like I'm walking on bubble wrap, you know? It's really quite unfortunate, but, you know.
It's always so funny, though. I mean, there are so many times in your life where you could go left and you go right, and think about how different your life would be had you dropped comedy because football took off a little bit earlier.
I know it. I think about that all the time. I know. I'd probably be in a wheelchair right now.
You would be, yeah.
You know?
You would have been knocked out your first season.
My knees really are sore. Here's my problem.
But wait.
Here's my cap.
You only played football for a year.
Yeah, but I played soccer for 3 years in college.
Okay.
I played rugby.
Rugby, okay.
And I used to pray a lot.
Okay.
So I was always on my knees.
All right.
But anyway, I want to get everything fixed. It's like my eyes. You know, I want to get LASIK surgery, but they said my eyes aren't bad enough, quite bad enough yet to get it. And my knees are killing me. I got an MRI. They said you have a slight meniscus tear, but not quite bad enough to get it fixed yet. You know?
Is it just that you're a pussy?
No, I'm ready to go.
Well, I know, but I'm saying you're complaining about your eyes are not bad enough yet. You're complaining about your knees are not bad enough yet. Maybe it's not that bad.
Well, it is bad.
It is, okay.
But it's not bad enough.
Okay, all right. I don't know what that line is, but you're hoping to reach it soon?
You know, it's like being in a relationship that's bad, but not bad enough to break up.
Right, okay.
Right. You know. So are you doing a lot of reading with a flashlight under the covers, hoping you can make your eyes just bad enough so you can get the surgery?
I think they'll get there eventually. You know.
Good luck with that.
A lot of my friends are very impressed that I don't have reading glasses.
But I didn't know you had to be a certain badness. I thought
you could
just, if you want to get it done, you could get it done.
Yeah.
Don't you just pay for it?
Well, some doctors, I'm sure, you know. I was working with Michael Jackson's doctor before.
Sure, yeah. If you want to go to Mexico, you can get somebody to do it for you, Kevin. But if you want to go reputable, yeah.
Well, I think what they were saying was that your eyes are you know, are the condition that we would do this surgery and they would maybe that strength by the time we were done anyway. You know what I mean?
No.
I see what you're saying.
Maybe I didn't say it correctly because I was thinking about something else as I said it. I was thinking about whitewater rafting as I said
it. All right. We have to take a break. The DVD is very funny. It is called Now Hear Me Out with our friend Kevin Nealon, available online and in stores everywhere tomorrow. And speaking of tomorrow, when we come back, we're going to tell you about are you doing the live thing tomorrow night too, Kevin? Can we invite people to that one?
Yes, we can. Yeah.
All right. Right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin Nealon is in studio right now. His new DVD is called Now Hear Me Out. It is available in stores and online everywhere tomorrow. This is his hilarious stand-up. You saw some of it on the Showtime special, but there's lots more. Hey, real quick, Kevin, since we haven't seen you in a while, are you doing any movies anymore, or are you too big for the big screen?
I'm sorry, I had the wrong mic on.
Yeah. Much too big for movies.
Much too big.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm always out there doing some kind of a film. I was just in something. What was it? Oh, Happy Gilmore.
In Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, I was just doing that.
Is that out yet? Because I hear good things about that young Adam Sandler.
Yeah. So that's good. I just did a film called Born to Be a Star with Nick Swartzen. And that'll be out, I don't know, maybe January or something. But it's a really funny film.
I can't tell if he's kidding or not. I don't know what this.
I play his abusive roommate.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't see that at all. How did the book do for you? The book about
Not well.
Your wife being pregnant. Really?
Not well at all. No. It came and went. No, it did actually. It did very well. Thank you. And it's because of you guys. You really, you know, promoted it.
Well, we have a book club, and a lot of people turn to us for that kind of information.
Yeah.
And so,
all right.
No, it did well. The paperback version is out now, and that's still available at bookstores and Amazon.com.
Yes,
and
you're pregnant, but what about me?
Yeah. Now, the paperback version is a little different. I turned it into more of a spy novel.
more of a spy novel.
Yeah, I rewrote it a little bit, you know.
As a spy novel.
Spy novel.
Okay.
Good idea.
All right.
That's a fantastic gift item for somebody whose wife is expecting. Give them an opportunity to find out what's in store for them. I
exactly.
like that idea.
Okay. And Kev, also a great stocking stuffer.
Already?
Yeah.
We can't be thinking about stockings.
It is. It's Christmas.
You know, it's getting to be that time of the year.
It's the 5th of Rocktober. We're still rocking Rocktober, dude.
It's getting to be that time of the year. That's all I can say, which is a lot better than that time of the month.
That's true.
Hey-o, watch it. Head down.
All right, what's this Tuesday night live get-together you do with you and up-and-coming young comedians?
Well, they're not up-and-coming. They've already come. They're here.
Oh,
yeah.
What are we talking about?
They've arrived.
Oh, okay.
What I do is I host a show at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. It's every Tuesday night that I'm in town. And I host the show. I do maybe 10 minutes up front of new material. And I say that loosely. It's more like new areas.
Okay. Because you haven't worked out jokes yet?
I have areas that I think could have some potentially good jokes in there. You know?
That sounds like a lot of fun for the audience.
But you're letting the audience know up front not to expect too much.
Yeah, we do let them know that. Okay. And people are really liking it. They're coming back every week to watch. And I have different comics every week. And about 7 comics, they'll come up and do about 7 minutes a new area, new jokes.
New area?
New areas.
Okay.
And then I'll interview each one of them afterwards.
Like, what's a typical new area for you?
Well, I'm
working... What are you excited to do tomorrow night?
I'm working on an area... well, tomorrow night I'm going to talk about Halloween.
Halloween?
Yeah, because I used to be a power trick-or-treater. You know, I would go out with like 2 or 3 pillowcases.
Right.
Running, full, you know, sweating. It was like a job for me.
Right. Well, you got 2 hours a year where you can get free candy. You might as well maximize it, right?
Yes, and I would come home and I would put that candy in my drawer. And that candy would last me through April, you know. And of course, albeit that candy was quite stale.
Don't
by
use that
by
word.
Okay. But I must admit,
yes,
that candy was quite stale.
Not good.
By you know, the candy was stale. The razor blades were rusty.
Sure.
You know, it's all. So I'm going to kind of touch on that area there.
Okay. See, you've already got jokes just falling out of you. You can't stop it.
You cannot stop it. And then there's some comics that come, and albeit they are doing some old material, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah, because they're just too funny. See, I have to say that because I can't think that somebody could be that funny on stage and have
old
material.
It has to be old material if it's funny.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it makes you look bad.
Yeah. And then I say to the club owner, Jamie Masada, I say, Jamie, very funny, that comic up there, but it seems like it's kind of, he's very familiar with that material. No, I've never heard him do that stuff. He's here all the time. And so I'm thinking, I'm just a crappy comic, you know. It's so hard for me to come up with something.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me, you as a comedy professional for a long time now, that you're still so interested in the craft of comedy, that you're still so introspective about your job. I applaud that. You haven't given up, is what
you
I'm
do
saying.
Applaud that, but I don't hear any
I
clapping.
It's really just an expression.
He says that he applauds that.
Yeah, no, I love stand-up. It's what I started out doing. It's really all I wanted to do. That and kicking a football.
Sure.
And to this day, I still love the craft of it, and I'm always interested in watching comics and seeing their style and you know, their strategy and how they put together their jokes.
It was fascinating to me to watch that Jerry Seinfeld thing back when he retired everything.
Yeah.
And then started trying to get a new act. It just seems like nobody has any idea how much work it takes to get a new act.
You've got to drive your Porsche to the airport, get on the Gulfstream,
right,
the G4 jet, and fly to different clubs and work out your new stuff.
Right. Well, there was that. But I'm saying, it seems hard to come up with new stuff.
It is. But I think once you kind of trust yourself and you believe in yourself and you know you're funny, you're willing to take that chance. It's very difficult to stand on stage and not get a laugh when you're trying new stuff. You know, most comics are used to getting laughs like every 15 or 20 seconds.
And they start getting nervous if they don't.
They get nervous
and they go back to the old stuff.
That quiet is very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And they do. They fall back on their old material.
Well, I got good news for you, Mr. Nealon.
When Happy Gilmore
comes out, you're not even need to do stand-up
That's
anymore.
True.
That's how big you're going to be when that movie finally gets released.
I'm hoping for some catchphrases to catch on.
And by the way, now Hear Me Out is the name of the DVD. I saw something very disturbing online.
Uh-oh.
And it involved you.
Uh-oh.
And I thought I would play a little clip of you and Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, boy.
Trying to figure out how to market this DVD.
So you do whatever you want, but what I would do, I'd find the first celebrity I can. I'd have sex with them on video, and I'd plug the DVD while I was doing it.
Really?
Yeah. I just think this could be a really great thing for your DVD, you know? I'd love to help you with this. I know how to do this.
Are you sure, Jimmy?
Stop talking.
So you can see that. That's not what we wanted to hear, see, or be exposed to today.
Yeah, you don't want to hear any of that. Or,
but you guys are clearly in bed together. There's no doubt about that.
I can't believe that video got out.
Oh, really? That's
that
a surprise to you?
Such an embarrassment for me.
Now all these people are finding out about the new DVD, and nobody wants that, right?
No, nobody wants that. Nobody. That's a turnoff right there.
It is, yeah.
Check out the video. Yeah, it's so funny.
It's. I got to tell you, Bean, you think I'm kidding a lot, but I'm not kidding right now when I say it's probably the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Your DVD?
Yeah, my DVD.
Wow.
It is hilarious.
You can listen to it from a third-person standpoint and go, yes, that's funny.
One time, I heard it the other day, and I wasn't paying attention. I was thinking about something else.
Sure.
And I thought to myself in the back of my head, that's a funny comic, whoever that is. And that material is really
hitting home.
I should pay attention, yeah.
He sure hits you with your sense of humor, I'll tell you that.
Sometimes I'm on stage and I'm thinking to myself, I am one funny man.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should just blurt that out. I think that would be good.
Well, I usually wrap up my act saying, listen, you've had a great time. I've been very funny.
I remember that, actually.
The Laugh Factory, and that's on Sunset, is where you're going to be tomorrow night with all the comics, right?
That's right. Every Tuesday night.
Every Tuesday night. And then when you're in town. And then now Hear Me Out is the DVD available in-store and online everywhere tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, now I'm really applauding for the great Kevin Nealon. Stopping by the Kevin Nealon
Show. Please.
Thanks
for
coming.
Kind. Thank you so much, you guys. That's enough.
Hey! Paramore on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:43.
Paranomore.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Paramore going to be performing.
All right.
She can't sing anymore. She
coming
sings
out.
Like this now.
She's a horse.
She sings like this.
I hear they had to cancel some or postpone, reschedule some shows last week because little Haley had voice problems.
Yeah. Yes. Nice work, Kevin.
But Kevin, also with voice problems apparently last week, didn't miss a day.
Yeah.
Showed up every day. He's a trooper.
Kevin the band killer ruins another band.
How dare you?
Makes her sing at like 8 o'clock in the morning. She didn't want to. Forced her crack the whip.
I didn't force anything.
Gun, head, two. Remember?
Well, that happened. Yeah. Other than that.
Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat for a Monday. What's going on?
Top 10 movies at the box office. We take a look every Monday morning. Today's no different. Zombieland. Number one at the box office. $25 million. Ticket receipts made it so. Universally loved, by the way. Haven't heard one person who was not pleased with their movie-going experience.
Every friend I have who went said it's awesome.
It is awesome.
And Woody Harrelson does not have the greatest track record in the world for picking projects either.
No, he is hit and miss, but this time he certainly has a hit on his hands.
Not to go too inside baseball, but your friends who wrote this movie, are they like mega rich because the movie did real well, or are they already sold it and it doesn't matter how successful the movie is at this point?
I don't have any idea what their profit participation, as they call it in the
industry.
Because
I don't know how Hollywood works.
Well, sometimes there is profit participation.
That you're putting in air quotes.
Right. So what that means is with your contract, you negotiate for a certain number of what they call points.
Again, air quotes.
Which is a percentage of the gross.
Air quotes.
Or net.
Air quotes.
And I don't know if they're in that position to get that kind
Probably
of
Probably not as first-time scriptwriters.
Although, Rhett has written a ton of stuff for Pixar. He's written several animated hits for them. So he may be able to negotiate better deals. I don't know. It's a little personal. You don't go to your friends and go, hey, how much money are you making on this deal?
You know?
Ralph, how many times last week during the showbiz did you have questions that were unanswerable?
Let me think. None times.
That's right. Okay.
Zero times.
A curious person.
I had the facts to talk about it with and left no one hanging in the breeze without an answer for anything.
Right.
Everything we discussed were matters at hand of which we knew.
And what was different last week?
I can't put my finger on it.
Oh, Bean was on vacation.
What made that week so blissfully easy? I can't think of what the difference was between this week and last week.
And back to you with number two at the box office.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. $16.7 million made it number two. Toy Story and Toy Story 2 in re-release in 3D was the third most popular film at the box office this weekend. The Invention of Lying, new Ricky Gervais movie, was fourth. Then Surrogates, Capitalism, A Love Story, and Whip It, Fame, The Informant, and Love Happens, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Mr. Noth, Chris Noth, Mr. Big from Sex and the City. And also, he, of course, was the star of Law & Order, several different incarnations. He and his longtime girlfriend, Tara Wilson, are engaged. He's 54, she's 27.
Yeah!
Do a little quick math here. Yep, that's right, twice her age. She would be half his age, he would be twice hers.
Woo!
And he wins.
He's a jackass.
What?
How dare you?
He's Mr. Big.
Yeah.
Here is some bittersweet news. MTV has announced they have made the decision to air the documentary series Gone Too Far. Those of you who are not familiar with it, it is a one-hour series hosted and developed by DJ AM, where he offers struggling young addicts a chance at recovery.
That's right.
MTV, along with the consent and support of DJ AM's family.
Thanks for the sound effects, Bean.
Will air the documentary series starting Monday, October the 12th. That is next Monday. It has 8 one-hour episodes planned, and it is hosted and created by DJ AM, where he talks to addicts between the age of 20 and 25 in the grip of their addiction and tries to help them get on the road to recovery. Of course, DJ Adam himself tragically accidentally overdosed some weeks ago, and I don't know how I feel about this. I guess it's good that he's still doing good, and maybe this will help others in the situation, yet at the same time, knowing the consequences of his actions, it's kind of sad.
I guess you have to do as he says, not as he did, if you're watching this. His advice is probably good for those people, but clearly he had trouble following it.
Right, that's what I said to Dr. Drew. I saw him the other day with a needle hanging out of his arm. I
really?
Was like, well, how do you get off? And he's like, do as I said, not as I do.
It was not. I don't think that was Dr. Drew.
It was Dr. Drew.
Was
I saw
me.
Him. He was laying in an alley. Oh, that's right. It was you. That's right. So, yeah. That's sad.
Yeah.
But I'll watch
would
the
you
show.
Would you make that decision if you were running MTV? Would you air those shows?
I think if the family was cool with it, I really do think there is something to be gained by this. This isn't just some BS reality show where everyone's vying for $1 million or something, you know? There's a real point to this documentary series that I think the family would like, even in his untimely death, for his good works to be seen and hopefully maybe influenced somewhere along the line.
I agree, and every time he's on screen, it's a message, don't overdose on drugs.
That's true. Speaking of people who would like to see dead, Paris Hilton in the news. She has told In Touch magazine that her idol, the person she looks up to, the person she most would like to be like, is Barbie.
Barbie.
The plastic toy from Mattel. Barbie.
What a stop heroes. Whoring around, Paris. Paris stop says, being a whore.
Paris says that she's one of her heroes because she may not do anything, but she always looks great doing it.
That's Paris.
That's Paris Hilton. Wow. I think she has achieved Barbiedom.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think of a person who only does the bare minimum?
Yeah. And Rachel Bilson's back in the news. She's back on television.
Yes.
She, of course, made her name on The O.C. Then she had a successful turn over there on Chuck on NBC. I thought she was real good on that.
Mm-hmm.
She has been cast in the 100th episode of How I Met Your Mother. And rumor has it she may actually be the mother. You know, the show is a series of flashbacks where a dude is telling his kids about how I met your mother. And we were initially led to believe it was going to be Kobe Smulders at one point that was going to be the mother, but it turns out not to be. They have yet to have the mother on the show, and rumor has it now Rachel Bilson will be the mother.
Hmm. They're already on their 100th episode.
Yeah, how about that?
Wow.
Good on them.
You know what their financial participation is?
How much is each of the members of the cast getting paid for How I Met Your Mother?
I only ask because they're friends of Ralph's. That's why I thought
they
might know.
Film that on? Is it in the Radford Building? What number is the soundstage? How many golf carts are parked outside of it on the studio lot?
I've got questions. They're bad questions is what we're saying.
And speaking of doing good things, Moby is helping out victims of domestic violence. His website today says that the profits from his upcoming shows here in California will go into a fund that will help the state's domestic violence program, which was cut significantly due to budget cuts in July. Moby hopes to raise between $75,000 and $100,000 from concerts in San Diego, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, and he will donate all of those proceeds to that fund to help women who are suffering from domestic violence. So
now all he has to do is get people to go see Moby.
Oh, man. Wow. Coming down on the Mopester.
Right. I love Moby.
Coming down on the Mopester.
That was clear.
I can tell how much you love him by inferring that no one will attend his concert.
I'm just saying he may not be as hot a draw as he maybe once was. I still think he's very talented. I like him.
What was the original budget for the state's domestic violence program? And what percentage was it cut?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jeff Conaway, our favorite rehab star from Celebrity Rehab. He is 59 years old today. Clive Barker, successful horror movie director, screenwriter, and author. He is 57. It's getting to be that time. Halloween stuff.
It is.
People are already talking about it. Guy Pearce from Memento and from L.A. Confidential is 42. Josie Bissett from Melrose Place, old and new, is 39. Kate Winslet celebrates her 34th birthday today. And Barbie's sister, Nikki Hilton, celebrates her 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Thank you, Ralph. And tomorrow morning, we have Mike Rowe, the host of Dirty Jobs.
What's Mike pulling down for that gig these days?
We also have from 90210, Shanae Grimes.
Ah! The program. What are the perks in her contract like?
And a world premiere of new music from 30 Seconds to Mars and Jared Leto in studio as well.
Private participation with the record company versus concert dates via record sales.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
You guys missed me, right, when I was gone last week, right? A little bit? Okay. Cats next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. Why not stick around for some Cake? Also, Kings of Leon and their new one called Manhattan. We'll play some Incubus, Muse, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.